I will call this April 3rd, 2025 CID meeting to order at 9:02 a.m. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for all that was up early or late driving in from rural Utah. And we're excited for everyone to be here with us this morning. We've got a big agenda, but we're hoping to get through it rather efficiently. First, we'll start with introductions. Commissioner White.
Hi, I'm Jack Bottle from Daca County, and I represent the Inner Basin AOG.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Laura Hansen, and I am representing the Governor's Office of Planning and Budget.
Scott Bartholomew from Stampede County, representing R6 House.
Greg Miles, Duchesne County Commissioner, representing Duchesne County.
Kurt Swap, Deputy State Treasurer, representing the State Treasurer.
Curtis Wells, representing rural Utah. Chairman. Justin
Sanders, thanks for providing counsel over from the Attorney General.
Good morning, Nadia Zanotti from sunny St. George. Yes, it was sunny and warm on Citroën County. I promise you. Representing Utah Commission.
Bill Winfield, here for Southeastern Rural Development Agency.
Jerry Taylor, Garfield County Commissioner, representing Pike County AOG.
Ralph Brown, Sevier County Commissioner, represents Sevier County.
Mayor Dean Baker, and I represent Uinta County.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So first we want to get into some discussion items before we get into the applications. I would say the majority of these items are kind of sorting through the dust after the legislative session. We do have Senator Stevenson that I'd like to welcome up to join us to kick off our 2025 legislative update. Before we turn it over to Senator Stevenson, just kind of briefly, Senate Bill 187, which is sponsored by Senator Stevenson, there's some overlap with the CID, particularly with the throughput infrastructure funds. You know, and just a reminder for the board, the throughput infrastructure fund is a fund that the state has assigned the administration over to the CID. We've actually not funded any projects through the throughput infrastructure fund. It's something that's, a role and a subject that I think is going to become more and more active as we're seeing kind of the priorities of the Trump administration to roll back overregulation and streamline production and, of critical and strategic minerals, of all minerals that are of national security and economic importance. And so I think Senate Bill 187, before I turn it over to Senator Stevenson, I think is a good sign of alignment with the state, with good policy at the federal government, and that impacts us and what we do. And we're going to begin to work on that. So we want to thank you, Senator Stevenson, for working with us on the bill and hoping you could just provide some context and bring the board up to speed on the goals.
Thank you. I apologize for my voice. I feel fine, and I don't think I'm contagious, but my voice is fine. Maybe I have to give us a really brief history on this. I think most of you know that this money was originally used or going to be used for coal port in Oakland. And that coal port, because of politics in the state of California, that kind of fell to pieces. And the money is sitting in a fund that was set aside. There's a little controversy over total ownership of that fund, but I'm not getting into that right now. This isn't a good time to do that. When we recognize what's going on with critical minerals from the session, we look around to see if where we can find some money to possibly fill part of that gap. And the interest on this money became attractive. We didn't want to touch the source of it, but the interest became very attractive, and we thought maybe we could use that to get some of this critical mineral thing moving. I've been involved, and I'm not a really good social engineer in the legislature, but I work really good with the business community and the business process. First of all, I compliment all of you for what you do for your counties. I I'm a firm believer that money is best spent at the local levels. I spent time as a mayor and city council, and I'm also pretty much a farm boy. I am from Davis County, but I think I own it from the largest nursery operation in the state of Utah. And so I understand the farm, I understand that that's kind of, maybe that's where the common sense comes from. I mean, some of my colleagues sometimes, I don't know if it merits, but that's beside the point. This money that we have, there's still, I think, $53 million placed there that is, would be available for projects around the state. We think right now it's under control of the CIP. We need to get that question answered. Part of it, when this money became available, we looked at it, it was set aside, and the agreement was that we would take an equal amount of money, move it to Utah, transportation projects, and so forth. And there are those in the state that think that has been, that's what has been accomplished. So we just need to clarify that and then move forward with the balance of these funds and projects that help grow Utah. I've also been, point them out process that we have. They're all land use authorities, like the state of Utah. They have worked very well. They've been very efficient in getting us where we need to be. We're able to take assist in projects very quickly through this process, not drag it into a long drawn out bureaucratic process that sometimes drives business away from the state of Utah. But I think hand in hand with what you're doing, what the inland port is doing, what the governor's office is doing, what Toledo is doing, I think we've got a great partnership here together and producing things, getting them done. Okay. Part of the problem we run into in the state is today a common project comes here, so we get packed up in a bureaucracy that causes problems. Where this project is entirely different from anything else we're doing is I've got a that sounds like my voice, I think. where we get tied up when companies come here, they're ready to move. And they don't get caught up in processes that cause them not to move. Part of what we have with this project, this is stepped outside of the boundaries of what we do normally in the state of Utah. And where we are outside is that this is a pre-performance loan. Almost all economic development projects I've ever been involved with in the state of Utah are most of the loans. You bring your money and your employees, everything you need. And then you show us what you're going to do, and then we'll give it back to you in the form of reduced tax rate. That's not what has happened with this project. This is an outright loan that puts these folks into business very quickly. It's in processing the product that we need in our country very quickly. And there are several of those. We have a lot of them in the state of Utah. You know the numbers better than I think there's 27 critical elements available in the state of Utah that are in quantities that are mineable, economically mineable. So that's the area that we're working in here. So as I said, we have stepped outside of this boundary of pre-performance. I'm going to tell you a very quick story, and then I think you probably have a lot of business you need to conduct here that you step away. But back in the early 2000s, we had a little company called it's Northrop Grumman, probably the largest military contractor in our country. Northrop Grumman was looking at an economic project in the state of Utah, which dealt with fiber and building at 35 Jackson and a whole bunch of other things. And that process, they decided that we offered them $25 million in tax and post-performance tax incentives over a period of time. They came to us and said, the state of Mississippi has offered us $25 million upfront cash.
And so my new friend shot a check, and we're not going to do this in Utah. They left. 3 months later, they came back, and they said the state of Mississippi cannot offer the education requirements that we have to build these products. And we want to know if you would hang on to this educator, or hang on to this incentive for us. And let us write Mississippi out of track. And the owner, or the president of the told me that most difficult thing he's ever done was write out a check for $25 million and give it back to Mississippi because they couldn't use that money. He said, when we come to Utah and produce both of the farms just like the proposal. And they came back and through the DTC, the Weaver DTC, all of our technical colleges and our universities. We put together the program that they needed to educate their students very quickly. I can tell you the same story about companies called Stog and Rail, that there's, and then many other defense contractors that come here to work because of these things, because we can act and we were reliable on it. But the incentives that we have to give them, they do need to be quick somehow. Companies sometimes need capital up front. I don't want you buying the speculation business. I share appropriations in the Senate. I do not want to see us get into a situation where we're doing willy-nilly loans to companies that make it not solid. But we need to have a process that can help these companies become established. The areas that we need help in is in the areas that you work in. And that is, we want to grow rural Utah. If you get a good company there, that brings 100 jobs or 200 jobs. It doesn't take very long. You have a dentist. You have a doctor that shows up that wants to help take care of folks. You have a large grocery store that comes in and employs 200 people. In some cases, our youth that can go to work and provide jobs for them, starter jobs. And then we have a place that they want to come home to after they finish their education. That is what we're looking after here. We don't need everyone packed along the Wasatch Front. We are currently along the Wasatch Front. I think we're the sixth or seventh most metropolitanized area in the United States. And those of you that drove here this morning or drove here from North Utah know what I'm talking about. I left my house about 10 minutes early because I wouldn't trip the traffic condition. So I'm used to it. Anyway, that's kind of where we're at with this. I would just advise you as we go through this process over the next few years, select the legislators that you want to work with this process very carefully. I'm focused on more of the business side of things. I'm not a social engineer, but get someone who understands the whole perspective of what you want to do. But and then make sure that you work with you. And all you sometimes that includes the lobbying community. The same thing. Just be very careful with who you select. Make sure that the people that make contacts. Good legislation is a lot about relationships. There are a lot that pull that really good ones. There are a lot to do, so just be careful. I thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity of allowing me to be here. This was really a fun piece of legislation to run during the session. I get into that. A few of those I'm not. I usually don't take on 30 pieces of legislation. I take on 5 or 6, I try to make them significant. What we can do to improve the economic welfare of the state of Utah. So, welfare is not the way it would, it's progress. So thank you.
Thank you, Sid.
Yes, sir.
Commissioner, good morning. Senator, on behalf of the
Utah. I just took
an increase. On behalf of UDOT Commission and UDOT family, I would like to appreciate and extend our love and appreciation to you. You've been the champion of the transportation projects in all of us, especially in rural communities, and today champion of this particular legislation. I remember that I'm one of the remaining members of the charter class for putting that infrastructure funds together. And unfortunately, the OFAP 4 didn't go through. It would have been the best for the state of Utah if it had been. But now, I want to make sure that you understand and you know that we did use the money that the UDOT. We borrowed it. We did a lot of projects with that and paid back then. So it has been a great source of many, many projects in UDOT, and I'm sure that Scali will have the opportunity to meet with.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me here.
It's if I could as well.
Thank you for your work.
Thank you to our chair, working with you and your staff, as well as a lot of the team that's involved in this. Thank you very much for your willingness to work through and come up with the people who are
My apologies for kind of going down at the last minute. I don't know what everything I see will touch last session. I did end up with 100% bill passengers of all the things I touched, but 95% of those passed the last 2 days of the session. So it was a lot of extra work on the tail end.
Sure. Well, thank you for that. Working with them.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So next up on the agenda, item 9-2, which is kind of a nice segue to the deepwater port discussion. And, you know, really the intention for this discussion item is part of the process of, you know, the discussion surrounding the TIF and Senate Bill 187 is we felt the need to kind of have a stakeholder meeting, you know, more of a workshop. The deepwater coal port is an issue it's a big issue for our coal producing counties. It's complex. There's a lot of AOGs involved in the conversation. We actually haven't received a presentation for the project. I've invited Brian Summers with the Utah Mining Association to come in and speak with us about it. But I think just following the session, particularly like Representative Albrecht and some of the stakeholders that worked on, were involved in the discussion and amendments to the bill, thought it would be best to have a very transparent discussion about the deepwater coal port and where the stakeholders would feel we would like to go or at least what our position is on the project in its current form. You know, as you mentioned, it was originally proposed as an Oakland project, and the project is I don't want to say resurfaced, but it's evolved. And we need a formal discussion on it. We really do. And so that's really the goal for this is to kind of tee that up. And I think, you know, my hopes with the board is we're open to that and looking forward to having that discussion. I don't have a specific format, I think, but the goal is we want to have, you know, representatives from the counties, who are interested in speaking on the issue, whether they're on the CFP board or not, AOGs, Brian Summers from the Mining Association themselves, and just kind of give everyone, representatives from the region, everyone an opportunity to at least hopefully we can reach some consensus or better understanding about where we're at so we can move with purpose and efficiency. And, I think just based on what I'm seeing, that's really needed on the issue. So I'm happy to open it up to any other discussion, you know, about that. But, you know, I think the idea is to hold this discussion. We do have, we don't have a May meeting scheduled. We do have a June, obviously, our retreat, which is a funding meeting. We may be planning a virtual meeting in May. Kind of a special funding meeting, and so that would be an opportunity too, but it's a priority of mine, at least in the next, you know, hopefully 45, 60 days at a minimum to really have this discussion.
Mr. Chen?
Yes, sir.
I just heard briefly, it sounds like you want to hold this discussion later, but, you know, I think as we look at why the money was set aside, going back to the big four, you know, we talked about the mighty five parks, but the big four, Carbon, Emery, Sevier, and Tempe counties was the target for to help these four counties. And during this time frame, from when the money was appropriated until now, we've seen one of the one that's been hit the hardest is Carbon County. And I think Sevier, you know, is probably living a little better life right now because of production, but I think the money, you know, as we talk about the discussion on how it should be used or when it should be used, I think we have to keep those four counties in mind. And that if we deviate from where the money was, you know, planned to be spent, it should come back home to person else for county somehow. That would be, you know, how I think that's the spirit of what the money was supposed to be used for, and I think that's what's right, especially for Carbon County, who have suffered dramatically over the last few years economically because of the lack of coal. So I think we need to keep that in mind for those four counties.
Thank you. Yes, please.
How long has it been? It's been 3 or 4 years ago. It became a very divisive issue, at least with the 7-county construction, as well as potentially CRV, because of the just what Commissioner Miles brought up, and I think there's a careful walk to be done, but making sure, and applaud you for making sure that all of the players are in the room at the same time. I think that's very important. Because they have, there's a lot of pride of ownership, I guess, in terms of that production, as well as the significant needs that have arisen. And we're in a little bit different world right now, too, to where some things may change, at least under the current administration. Maybe not the port locations, or at least not the typical ones that I know are, that were researched and have come along. I want to make sure that we don't drop the ball. Or if it is ever changed significantly, to your point, the four counties are very connected with that.
Thank you. Commissioner Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No witnesses on the agenda. I reached out to Carl Albrecht with his thoughts and ideas fall in line with what both his residents. Thank you.
You bet. Yeah, that's certainly been my vision and goal, is to empower that block of four to lead this discussion and you know, and really help us, you know, get to a good place on it. So that's the goal. Thank you. How far do you want to get into this discussion today?
Well,
you don't want to get into any nitty-gritty depth into this right now.
Well, the goal is to make sure that it's a representative discussion when it happens, and I think that requires some, you know, the AOTs and just kind of more. But I mean, if you've got a few comments,
I would just I appreciate what has been said, Mike.
Yeah.
I echo that
for sure.
Okay.
Ms. Hammond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just say I welcome the opportunity to have the conversation. I don't know a lot about what's been proposed, and I welcome the opportunity to learn about those project proposals and better understand the details and the opportunity to have a good, you know, conversation with all of the stakeholders. The table sounds great, so I look forward to it.
Great. Thank you. Okay, next item 9.3 is the Utah Project Portal update. Do we have anyone we need to do it? Yeah, come on up, Shay from R6 and Ms. Hansen. So this discussion is just intended to update everyone on the progress of the project portal, and I'm happy to turn it over to Shay and Ms. Hansen to bring us an update, talk to us about the portal. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Travis is trying to make it. He's got another unit, but I'll fill in for now. And, if you have any questions, I'll try to answer those for you. I can provide a brief update and then maybe jump from there. So we received funding, a contract from CID for the portal initially in September, right? We have an update today for you. We plan to have all the deliverables that we've outlined with your work group completed and presentable by your June meeting that will be held in Richfield. So we're excited about that. Through the work meeting with certain members of your board, we came up with some items that we will add to the portal at the request of CID. Those being, in summary, a project clock function, right? So when projects are input into the portal, it can be locked and managed that way so that we don't have edits occurring, and so that projects that might be used, or if the portal uses a list, the projects wouldn't be edited or edits would be tracked, right, and be able to see when different information was input into that. Another key piece of the conversation was if projects have pursued other funding, right, so we want to be able to see what other funding has been pursued, if that funding has been secured, if that funding is just applied for but has not been granted by another funding source, et cetera. So we'll build a function for that into the portal. An emergency status tag, so if there are emergency projects, we need to be able to track those separately. We'll also upload 5 years of CID data back, so that will be complete by June as well, along with all of the current year CID lists that are being gathered by the DOGs. Those will be in the portal by June. And then we'll have admin staff accounts with all the AOGs for that checks and balances piece, which we're excited about. We have a meeting scheduled with all the AOGs to kind of work through all the details of that on the 9th of April. And then, as you're well aware, we have received some additional funding from GOPD, and with that, a big request from that office is that we add a GIS component, which I think will be valuable. So that is currently being worked on as well. We'll be basically all the projects that are in the portal will be able to be tagged and have a scan of map where those projects are throughout the state. So that's kind of where we're at. We're working on those. We're having meetings with UGRC, with GOPD, with CID, with AOGs, et cetera. That's just a small update we want to provide for you. We're excited about it. We think it's moving well. We're still having continuing conversations with other state agencies as we move forward. I'm open to answering questions on it. But yeah.
On the GIS mapping, are you going to bring at least 5 years worth of data also to show where historical stuff is in?
Yeah, it's a good question. It will depend upon what we have tied to those lists, right? So the conversation around how to tag projects with a location has been interesting, right? You bring up points like if it's a critical water source, do we want to pin that in a particular spot, or do we just want to pin a municipality?
Right.
If we do that,
and
so we have to use like a zip code or something. If we do pin those 5 years of projects back, we would have to have some type of location data with those. Certainly, I think it's reasonable to pin at least a municipality on those projects. I don't know if it were a road project, so we would pin exactly where the road project were.
More location.
Yeah,
location.
Yeah, I think that would be reasonable for questions.
Good to see that. And I think that would be nice to go back way back, but I think it just started.
Yeah.
But finally, this makes sense. Just, I think that map, because then at least you can get a little bit of heat map on it or do a lot of things with it. The map's the simple part. It's all the data that's behind it.
Yeah.
That is what I think is exciting.
Absolutely correct.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Yeah, I know you guys presented to the Port of the Water Coordinating Council in this last meeting, so I don't know if this is a question for you or Laura, but what has been the reception from some of the other revolving loan programs of the state in terms of using this as kind of a one consolidated tool? Is that still a plan?
I can answer that. So the Water Development Coordinating Council was kind of the first time that I had shared that with a broader group, and you were there for the discussion. I think there was interest in the tool. I didn't get a sense that everyone was like, yes, sign me up today, right?
Right.
But I heard cautious, interest and like, yeah, let's explore it further.
Yeah.
The direction that we've decided to take is that we didn't want to slow down progress in getting this up and running. And so waiting for all of the state agencies to decide whether or not they wanted to use it or not and what features they wanted, we thought, let's just keep moving forward with the AOGs and the local governments and get all of their projects entered in. Then maybe once we have a fuller picture of the tool, we'll go back to all of those state agencies and say, okay, now you get a little bigger picture of the things that are entered here, and be a little bit more deliberate in saying, would you like to participate? But I got the sense that at least the water agencies were open to it, and that they saw value in the tool. I think we could reach out to the Division of Outdoor Recreation if they want to be participants. There's the Division of Emergency Management. That was a meeting that I had yesterday, actually, with all of the disaster mitigation projects. That's a category that we don't have yet in the portal, but I think could be a good addition in there as well, because like, I know a lot of your communities have, like, you know, there's this group that floods every single year, and if only we could, you know, fix this one thing to prevent the roads from washing out. Those would be good projects to include in there as well. The one bit of sort of hesitancy that I heard was there is a grant. So all of the UDOT funding goes through a very detailed process already. And so there was, and a lot of it is blended federal plus state money, or it's money that's UDOT money plus money from Salt Lake County and UTA for the Transportation Land Use Connection Grant and the Technical Planning Assistance Grant Program. And so there, it got a little squishy on whether or not we wanted to include all of those projects in this pool. And so we thought, let's cross that bridge when we get there, continue to build it out with the AFGs and the municipalities, and then we can decide, okay, does UDOT funding make sense to incorporate into this, or is that just too complicated and has its own system and we don't need to try to put our ground next to our goal? So, anyways, conversations are continuing to happen.
Great, thank you. Yeah, that's what I heard too. It was, you know, they seemed open, but I didn't know if there had been any follow-up conversations in terms of, yeah, let's do it or not.
Yeah, nothing
for us. I promise you, if you build it, they will use it eventually.
Yeah.
I did demo this to the governor, and he loved it. So, and he said that he chose the right county or the right region to start it at the town count. But, yeah, he was really enthusiastic about it.
Great.
Yes, sir.
Just again, tell us if this is a living document on the website that you want to update it accordingly based on the needs. And tell us about the encryption. Is it end-to-end encrypted software that nobody's going to have any sabotaging feelings or intent?
Yeah, happy to address that. I am certainly not the software guy, so I can't speak to the technicality piece on security. It has been part of the discussion, right? We're working with Jones and Mill on the development of the software, and so security certainly has been a piece of that discussion from all the way from the GIS component, tagging there, to other data that's input. A lot of the data will be public data, right? And so a big piece of it doesn't necessarily have to have that major security line, whereas other parts may. So yes, that has been part of the conversation, but as far as technical piece of it, I don't feel that I have the expertise to. That if we would like a briefing on that from some of the software guys in Johnson, I'm sure that we could provide that to you if you'd like to have that.
Well, in my mind, it would be necessary to have that kind of opportunity because anybody in the county level or state level can get in and do their own additional try to make a good thing, sometimes a good deed doesn't really produce good results.
Yeah.
I'm just sure to say it one more. Comment too. Just, you know, we're so appreciative of R6 taking the lead and the charge and getting this up and running and the assistance from Johnson & Miller as well. Ultimately, our goal is for this to be a state-owned product. PCID is the funder of this and GOPB. And so, you know, while we'll contract with these guys to continue to kind of maintain the back end of it, it will be a state product, and so the branding of it will be a state Utah tool, and it'll be broader than just our state. But we're so appreciative of their help in getting it up and running and rolling and continuing to build it out for us.
We're fully on board with that. We think that makes sense to roll it out statewide and formally there. And so I think the structure on the back end, procurement, that he's talked about it.
Thank you. Any other questions regarding the school update? Thank you for the update, Chair. We'll look forward to future updates and get this pilot implemented.
Okay. Great.
Thank you.
That's in June, if that's okay.
You bet.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, up next, item 9-4. We're just setting the date, confirming the date for our third trimester meeting, which is being hosted in Richfield City for our policy retreat as well. Thank you to Commissioner Brown and the folks that are organizing the retreat. We have some information regarding like RSVPs. They've got some awesome activities and events lined up. I'm really excited. Deschutes County obviously set a high bar last year, so it looks like Commissioner Brown's coming in with big guns. So appreciate that. Do we need Ms. Powers? I know there's been, this has been circulated via email as well. So I think, you know, if you have an opportunity to fill this out, either the staff, you know, or respond via email. And we're looking forward to June 5th and 6th.
Thank you.
In Richfield City.
Can't wait for a comment.
Yes, sir.
One quick comment for everybody. If you have not RSVP and you want to eat Thursday night, if you don't get the RSVP to Candace in the next couple of days, you won't be eaten.
Good heads up.
Just saying,
we're on record. I'm glad you did. Did you need to go to mine out now? We're being cursed.
He's in charge of that.
I killed mine out twice.
I'm still being pressed, but I will get it. I am hungry.
Thank you. Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. Okay. So with that, we do have, we're anticipating just a brief closed session, but we'll get into that at the tail end of the meeting and jump into financial review. Item 2B, I'll turn it over to Kaylee. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are all of you? I'm telling you what's the best news I have in a while, but I have to do some bad news. So you don't have any, you don't have enough money today, but if you look at the forecast, so you have January, February, February in there, and by the June meeting, you'll have March and April, and unless something severe happens with the production of the county, we are forecasting that you will have enough money for all of the projects in totality that are presented to you today. You don't have enough money today to fund all the projects. You're short by $3 million. So you have almost $4 million available today. And the amount of money that's being requested today is $31.3 million. So you're shy of just under $3 million. And one thing that I did want to mention is you're short $3 million in totality. The problem with that is there's a high number of grants that are being for today, $18.7 million. Those have to be funded out of the county fund. And so even though you're only short $3 million in totality, we would not be able to move any of the grants that are requested today over to the most public funding that's behind that you have a surplus. And so even at the end of the trimester, Candace and Rick will have to move things around a little bit to move some of the loans that are being requested today to be moved over into the bonus fund. Candace has all of the federal funds today except for one month, which is fine. We will have to split over. We can totally do that. But as far as grants go, we can't move those over, so we should keep that in mind as we're going through this project today. But hopefully, Commissioner Brown is going to have activities and we'll have some money. So, yeah. Any questions?
I just want to mention to the board before that that's really good information. That's exactly what needs to be given. Even if you move grants, though, if it's 0% loan, we still can't take it out of the bonus fund. Bonus fund has to bear an interest. So, yes, we have some loans indicated, but you'll notice that they're in the mineral lease column because they're 0% interest as they were requested. It is up to you if we take it out of it. My question to Kaylee is, does this include a supplemental? Because I think I might have given you my numbers before the supplemental came in. She's talking about only those new projects. There's a supplemental request on today's agenda. And so those are the, with the revenue that we have today, those are the shortfalls. In green, it's a positive. In red, it's a negative. But she talks about it in its entirety, which we all do. So but I'm just showing you how they are taken out of the different funds because of the 0% interest.
Does that change your comments?
It
doesn't
change the comments. As long as the loans, any loans that are still have to add.
Thank you. It's not going too far. We're probably going to have some
questions. Right.
Okay. Thank you. Excellent. Okay. Next, we have the approval of minutes from the February 6th. 2025 meeting. Do I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second. Motion made by Commissioner Lyle, seconded by Commissioner Winfield.
Okay. Can I make one note on those? We're still showing Bruce Adams in attendance rather than
Okay. Thank you. Are you sure you're not Bruce?
Can we keep my hat?
No, I think it's more than a hat. We want to know what you can
see. Can you answer the
question real quick? We'll be the decider. Okay. Sorry about that. We'll get that.
No.
Sorry.
He's in the candy. He can't see.
He gets called worse since Grand County minute.
Oh, yeah.
It's a privilege to be called Bruce Adams.
Thank you, Bill.
As a minute.
Seeing no further discussion, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Minutes approved. And we will move on to our project presentations. A reminder, today is not a funding meeting. And we are, I'll say this, we've got more applications than we have funds. And it's been expressed, you know, by some of the board and shared by me, we do want to avoid getting down into the weeds too far, especially, you know, on projects where we lack the funds. And so I would just ask that we be mindful of the time and as efficient as possible in the review and discussion of the projects. That's fair. Up first, item 4.1 is Vernal City Water Improvements. I would like to invite representatives from Vernal City up to speak to the project if they'd like. Introduce themselves, please, if you wouldn't mind, and provide the board just a very brief overview of the project, and then I'll open up to the board for questions. Thank you. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you. It's good to be here, and appreciate the board's time and consideration of this project. I'm Ed Long. I'm on the Vernal City Council. I have Keith Spain, Public Works Director, and Ivan Merrill, Public Works Superintendent. This is an application for a project that's roughly $5.5 million to replace roughly 5 miles of water transmission and sewer lines. Several years ago, Vernal City embarked on a very ambitious goal to revitalize and upgrade downtown Vernal. We have completed several major projects. We have major projects currently underway. In fact, some of our more ambitious projects are ahead of us with the intent to improve the downtown experience for residents, to attract commercial business, as well as make Vernal a tourist destination, and of course increase tax receipt revenue. And this is so far we've seen some of the benefits of this. Vernal City has been recognized on the state level and both national level for the work and effort required to inject life into downtown Vernal. However, this has required a tremendous amount of time and resources, financial resources for the city. If you would have been able to see Vernal 10 to 15, and we invite everybody to come check it out. If you they will compare Vernal City 10 to 15 years ago to now, it would bring a tear to your eye. But the challenge we have is managing 70-year-old water sewer infrastructure. And it is a real challenge, especially financially, which kind of brings us here. And with that, I'll turn the time over to Keith and Ivan to describe the project and answer questions you have. So thank you.
Thank you. This project is a mostly water, a little bit of sewer components project, a critical infrastructure for Vernal City. One of the aspects of this project is to rehabilitate a transmission line. We have two lines feeding the entire city. The 3500 West line is one of those lines, and it's a 70-year-old pipeline. It's a steel line with a cement lining on the inside. A few years ago, we had a major break on the line, shut the line down for quite a while. As we were repairing that, we did a little investigation, set a camera up and down the pipe as far as we could just to see what we had in this pipeline. And all of the data came back showing that the cement lining is eroding away and has eroded away. The break actually occurred on where there was no lining left. We found several spots like that. And so we needed to address this 3-mile transmission line, which is a costly project. We looked at different routes to approach it. And what we come up with is slip lining the pipe with a new HDPE pipe, which avoids us from almost any digging. We'll have a few spots we'll have to dig, but we don't have to replace all the line out and put new. So that's the approach for taking on this line. The other part of the project is more downtown part. 100 North is one of our main east-west corridors. The water and the sewer both are aged, and the sewers that capacity there. So we figured to replace both lines at the same time and strip the band-aid off and do them both together. And so that sewer and water support a lot of our critical infrastructure as well, the hospital, the county building, schools, a lot of those are on that corridor. And those pieces of water sewer directly impact those customers.
Thank you. Questions? Is the water congestion with storage already doing on the sewer lines? South of 40 on the first
South. Yeah, so we've done some work on First South. We're doing work on First Bus right now. This is along the same lines of that effort.
Okay. And then in the event there's an opportunity to make a motion, is it the tool, or at least the verbiage in our notes, suggests that we're out of whack by $1 to be within the tool? Are you willing to
have a dollar?
So with that in mind, I think it fits within the tool, or the motion would be, if it were accepted, to approve at the minimum range a $3,899,000 grant, $1,671,000 loan, 3 years or 100%, and that would be $1 off either side to make it fair.
Thank you for the motion, Commissioner.
I'll second that.
Motion seconded by Mr. Bartholomew. Comment, Ms. Hanson.
I was just going to ask about water rates and when they were last raised, just for context.
Thank you. We raised our water rates 2 years ago, but probably more importantly, we are currently and getting close to finishing a lengthy effort on completely restructuring our water rates. So not just raising them, but we're adding 4 tiers to our rates, and we are just investigating, looking at how we build certain types of customers, hotels versus apartments. But, so we're doing a complete restructure of our water base, which we'll hopefully have ready for the public in a
minute. Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yes.
Good morning. I'm a
don't know if you are the most going to answer this question. So do you use app technology to detect you breaking the lines or excessive use of the water of your system?
So we do have higher water loss than we like. That's something we're actively looking at. Every 2 weeks, our move reviews on water coming in, water billing, something we're looking at. Our SCADA system, the technology, is a little bit older, but we're more so upgrading, looking at upgrading delivery hardware and software at this point. And down the road, if funds become available, may implement more electronics technology, but for the time being, it is more so on making pipes only. That was your question, sir?
Yes. Yeah, if you can, quick as possible, get that technology, because it has saved us and St. George a lot of time, because, you know, the water finds a decent amount of resistance to come out. After 2 months, 3 months, you don't know until you get your bill, and by the time you get that bill, you have to find out where's the source, where you're using it. The city doesn't involve it. It's a private community, private association.
So as far as if it is a resident every month that is evaluated, use every single customer every single month, and if we see abnormality, I dispatch a tech to go out, meet with the property owner one-on-one, do a leak analysis right then and there, and try to help those customers. So on the customer side, we are very proactive on helping them with water loss.
So how did you detect it in 3500 West water break 2 years ago?
So that one, unfortunately, was water bubbling up in the intersection.
That's an easy one.
It's the ones that we can't find, those are ones that keep that.
Well, as a resident of the desert community, I love fancy to make sure that we get the same message as we can on the water line. Detect as quickly and repair as quickly. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner.
Is this the oldest water line?
Yeah.
City G.
I wish I knew the answer to that, and I hope it is. It's from our maps and just talking to people that have been around a long time, it's aged to 70 years, and historically part of the water line that brought water straight from the springs to town. So it was a main line many, many years ago. System has changed a little bit over those decades, but it is still a critical piece of our infrastructure, one of our two transmission lines down to the North City.
Thank you. Could I make one motion real quick to include the recommendations from water quality and drinking water that plans and specs for this project have to be reviewed and approved by water quality.
Yes, sir.
Treasurer's Ball.
Yeah, I just had a comment on the tool. So I noticed that there's a very hefty range between minimum and maximum, and even minimum and medium funding. And I typically have thought that we try to fund at the median, but I realize that's a big difference between minimum and median. I wonder if there's an opportunity to tighten the tool up a little bit so that it's not such a wide range.
Those are just guidelines. This is the bottom, and then you have the top. You can do it in between and be within your exemption.
I understand. That's the problem, right? Because it's so such a wide range.
Yeah.
It doesn't give us as much guidance as I would prefer when it comes to funding these things. I would prefer much narrower range, knowing that most of the applicants are going to try and push for the minimum. So, anyway, that's just a thought. That said, that's not necessarily a comment for the applicant. It's more a comment for CIB staff. And, you know, I would like to see maybe a little bit of a tighter range so that, the tool is actually guiding us towards some reasonable outcomes rather than such a wide range.
So to Kurt's point, it seems like in our policy retreat last year is when we did a lot of work on the tool, and we all agreed, let's leave this in place for a year and see how it works. And so that year is now coming up. And so I do think it might be appropriate at the retreat to just put a little time in, just take another look at the tool. I've noticed in some of our past meetings that for really small communities, we almost always go with an exemption. And that is an indication to me that maybe the tool off a little bit. And I think we've done the right thing when we've done the exemption on those, because they've been teeny little communities with their resources, but it indicates that maybe something in the tool is not quite off, right? So it might be a good opportunity to review that. That said, I think this is the exact kind of project that CIB exists for.
And then I guess my other comment is it appears that the applicant knew what the tool range would be when they set their request and they set it right at the minimum. Like, you know, I think the tool is to guide us, not necessarily the applicant. So I don't know if we should have a policy that applicants shouldn't be allowed to like, see what the tool's out that is before they set the request. Because we know that a lot of them will set it at the minimum. They're allowed to do that. So just a couple of procedural things that I
Yeah, I mean, I definitely expect the tool to be, you know, standing item on the policy retreat agenda and specific things we want to look into. That's what it's for, at least the retreat. Commissioner Lytle,
I can add to that. The maybe a different way of looking at it, because I can I understand exactly what you're saying and see and agree. One of the, honestly, as a board member and representing an area, at least there's certainly an opportunity for refining the applications. I'll be honest, I'm quite happy to see when somebody at least gets within the tool. They're doing some of our work, in a sense, or doing their work to help us do their work, you know, in terms of approval. Is there opportunities, and I use the word loosely, to game it in different ways, of course. And in this one in particular, and it's not a challenge to you guys in any form, but drinking water says you can handle up to a 4% interest. Drinking water is not fun. So when we read the whole packet, it does give us an opportunity to do that. Again, I get back to producing challenges as well and different things with it, but to get down to the facts, what can they afford based on their financials? At least one entity that they went to propose to, or at least brought it forward, did their math and said they could do something better. So I'm a part of the problem in one sense, but I also recognize that I'm trying to get the money out to in a responsible manner. So I'm not arguing with you, just make facts.
Okay. Commissioner Taylor.
Yeah, this total project is the total dollar of $5.5 million. That's the total project. Is Vernal City putting anything into this? If you put money into it, or is this just all total CIB funding?
Yeah, in this request, it is all CIB funding. We, as Councilmember Long indicated at the beginning, we have a lot of other projects that we fund elsewise. A lot of our own funds, a lot of other funding agencies throughout the state and federal funds. On occasion, water and sewer critical infrastructure piece, this project is all CIP funds.
Okay. I'd love to see everybody have a little bit of skin in the game, but if you've got other projects going, I understand.
Okay, we've got a motion on the table to place on the priority list, correct, at $3,900,000 in grant, $1,671,000 in loan, 30 years at half a point.
I did the math, or I went to the tool and took the dollar off. So my motion was not as they presented the dollar.
Okay, for $3,899,000?
Yes.
Okay. I really like to get to half a point on an extra dollar.
$1,000. It's $1,000.
Or $1,000.
Jack was going to make it. He was.
Oh, yeah.
That's the end of the game.
Without seeing the further
question, Ms. Powers, I'll call for a roll call vote, please.
It was $1,000.
Treasurer Wells. Herbstruck. Slough.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Mr. Simmons?
Aye.
That motion passes.
Thank you.
The chairman is
speaking. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, up next, item 4.2 is a request from the Uintah Special Service District number 1 for $15 million, $5 million in grant, $10 million in loan, 30 years at 0% for an athletic facility in Vernal City, Utah. Welcome. Please introduce yourself to the board, provide a brief overview of the project, and then we'll open up to the board for questions.
Good morning. As I introduce myself, I'm going to pass out kind of one short. But thank you for having me. My name is Cheryl Meyer. I am the director of the Uintah Special Service District 1 in Uintah County. Primarily, we serve recreation in our area. I appreciate the opportunity to be here for this project. I guess the reasoning for this board is to impact the to mitigate the impact of the industry, the producing industry. One of those impacts that we truly suffer with in Uintah County is a quality of life, and with that comes recreation. And just to go real quick, kind of over, this was shocking to me, but out of 51 states I know on that first slide, there's 50, but they're using Washington, D.C. as one of those. And out of 51 areas, Utah is ranked the highest at 51 for mental health. That's higher than Alaska. It's dark 6 months. I wasn't here. But with that, Uintah County and the basin area suffers with the highest mental health rate. And the purpose of this to mitigate that, as we have industry and trying to seek a workforce and to sustain families and sustain a quality of life, the power of recreation and what that could do on mental health is what we're trying to provide. Having a safe place for community, whether it's children to adults, is really the idea, and year-round, as you're aware, if you've been to the basin, we have some pretty harsh winters with not a lot to do unless you're an outdoor snow enthusiast. We don't have a facility like this with anywhere around, 2.5 to 3 hours away for our youth to be able to put on these activities. This project is very shovel ready. It has a lot of community support. It directly addresses the mental health issue, which is a direct impact that we're trying to mitigate. And we have done a lot of legwork in this, have saved the money to be able to do this. And so I present this with the CIB to hopefully have your support and help. I understand the finances. I see your dollars, and I understand what recreation looks like in a board like this. I'm hopeful with the report that we heard at the beginning that once funding is in place at the funding meeting, that there is sufficient funds. But I completely recognize that this project would be the first to have a different look to it. And there are a lot of possibilities to negotiate. I also recognize the interest, and as candidates pointed out the different funds when you request a 0% interest where those funds come from versus an interest rate. And so on the original proposal, there was a request of an interest rate, or there was a 0%. So with that, that's also up for negotiation, which would switch the funds, be able to move those around. And we're willing to look at a lot of different options as far as possibly more grant money or less grant money, more loans, if there's a need for us to save some more, get some more match money, we're willing to do that. We're also willing to save the project. I have Nate Jardine with me, who's the recommended contractor of the design build team, that if you have any questions about phasing, but we've looked at that, that's definitely a possibility. So a lot of options. I just appreciate the opportunity to be here and to answer some of this. I know they'll all be easy.
Thank you, Commissioner Bartholomew. So as I read through this description and stuff, you made the comment that there isn't a facility like this around for maybe 2-3 hour drive. That's the case with most of us. We don't have facilities like this. And I have to go back to the discussion that we had with Richfield. Their swimming pool, which was just a basic swimming pool with a few extra things on there. Is there a possibility that you could cut this back considerably?
Yes. So there...
Or do it in phases.
Yes. Definitely phases and definitely cutting back. The goal of the original, the plan up there was to be able to house all of our programs. Us at Recreation, we utilize our schools, their gym space, and different things like that, which also have their own needs. And we have really old schools, and we have community use that also uses those. So our goal was to put all of our programs here. So that definitely allows us to cut back some of the courts and different items like that. But we've looked at downsizing the square footage considerably.
Thank you. Karen Zanotti, James Christian. Commissioner Taylor.
Yeah, you say that you're shovel ready. If you had the money today, when would this go out for bid and when do you plan on?
So we have already sent out through State Purchasing the RFP for a design build team, and that recommendation from the board has passed. We have done some groundwork up to there as far as the geotech samples on the facility itself. And so obviously first, with the design build RFP, you do those kind of together, but we would be able to, we could currently start with our match money and proceed with that, and then if funding came in. So, day tomorrow, but, you know.
But you have sent out requests for proposals to find
yes.
a team?
Yep. Yep, so that's where we have MB Design and Jardine Builders, and there's other components to their design build team, but that has been, that process has been fully vetted and recommended by our board.
Thank you. Commissioner, Chairman Zanotti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So you scared us when you started saying that you're going to pass out, right? So what kind of project you're going to propose?
Oh. I would never pass out unless there's a giant needle.
First of all, the AOG's clearing house service sheet that usually is supposed to be answered questions is already signed up, but no answers being provided. So I don't know if this family is going to continue that one or not. The second, in your public meeting, you have repeated requests from the directors, from the council members, that please do not burden or overburden the citizens of the OC County by having extra taxes or expenses. this project and this massive project expansion is going to require operation, maintenance, new employees to hire, and all the expenses associated with this expansion. So how are you going to pay for these without not overburdening or even small burden on the citizens?
So we are funded by mineral lease money and user fees. And so I understand that mineral lease fees are still a tax, but not a direct tax to the community. And user fees were recently raised in a February for a December public hearing, a minimal increase that hasn't been raised for quite some time. So those there are those impacts to the taxpayer, but the way we're funded is just a little bit different. So we would be using mineral lease funds to pay back the bonds.
And the last question, can you change the scope? You said that you are available or you have the opportunity for license with this basis or even with a reduced scope. Tell us what kind of reduction you can put on this project.
A reduction more probably on timeline, sectioning maybe the front half in a phase one, the back half in a phase two. There are, and if there are another opportunity solution, yes.
Yes, so with it being a design build project, there's a lot of flexibility as we move forward in design. So as we get into project, it's going to depend on funding. But as we get into the project, as we continue to roll through the process, we'll be able to look at that phase and plan and determine that phase one, phase two, what that entails, what the scope entails, and where we can cut and where we can reduce, and what funding and budget.
Just want to make sure that you mentioned yourself that you're available to do that kind of opportunity, and there's opportunity to make a better best time today to call the rest of the applicants today. Thank you.
Just a question, Beth. You say it's in my treasurer's
seat. Okay, sorry.
You pointed at it and said, I'm third.
One, two, three. Hey, thank you so much. This, I actually really like seeing the whole vision and understanding where you are. I wish every community could have a facility like this because I understand how important they are to communities and creating spaces for people and keeping kids out of trouble and all of those things. I also appreciate your willingness to come and say, hey, we can work with you guys on this. Nagi kind of got to my question, which was, like, what would the first phase look like? And it sounds like maybe you don't know that yet. What I'm hoping is to be able to, like, I would make a motion to fund the first phase. We have to put an interest rate on it to get it in the right funding zone and funding bucket, and I would advocate for somewhere in the medium of our tool recommendations, so like a 2.5% interest rate. But I'm wondering, like, what's the right number for that first phase? Like, what's enough to get you started on it? You know, sometimes, like, if it's too little, it's like, well, hey, we can't do anything with that. But we want to get you going, or at least I would like to get you going on it. So that's, I'd love your guidance on what a threshold that you think to get you at least started. I would think with our match money, $5 million, and then looking at maybe possibly maybe passing each of the loan grants that we could move forward this year, knowing that probably back this year. But
we do need to speak to your board as
well. Yes. Yes, to get that whole picture. But I would think something like that would be a comfortable starting point. And one of the things, too, about the tool, I didn't know when I put in the numbers what the tool would spit out. I really didn't. I wanted to come in with something very reasonable and something I could explain and understand. Which became really good. I know Kurt's got a question, but when we're ready, I have a motion that I'd be willing to make.
Yeah. So I guess I might have a different perspective than everybody else on this. And I'm from Vernal. I you know, and I love the Vernal area, but
it puts me in a hard position as a board member when I see recreational things come before the board, because to Scott's point, not everybody can have a facility of this magnitude in their community, right? And the problem is when CIB starts funding these things, then other communities say, well, CIB will fund this in Vernal. Why shouldn't we also have a facility like this? Because we have mental health problems too, and we have these issues too. And pretty soon we're funding recreational facilities all across. And quite frankly, we just don't have enough money for that. Like, we've always been focused on essential infrastructure because there's a lot of that that has to take place. We have aging sewer infrastructure. We have aging water infrastructure. We have critical roads, and all of it is very hard to get funded, right? And so I have a really hard time wanting to fund a recreational project when I know that the kind of facilities that you're asking for are not available to all of Utah, nor will that ever be, because it's just not economically feasible. So that said, I know you're from the Special Service District. You guys have other revenues, and I'm sure you have a lot of other projects. You know, if you're wanting to get a recreational facility built, why didn't you bring us one of your other road or sewer projects rather than trying to go to CIB for your recreational facilities?
So we are a special service district that has multiple in UNA County Special Service District, and the transportation district was just here last quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, so as far as the other ones, this original ask for the current facility that we do have was a product of CIB support. And so it's not something that I get where the rest of the state might start coming to CIB, but it's something that we come very far and do in between the years. It's been 18 years since Burma has come to CIB for a recreation project. And so, like I said, I get what it is, and I don't want to compete with a transportation project or a water and sewer project, especially when it's in the basin. And my hope is that, and I think everybody maybe hopes, is that once the funding meeting does come, that funds are going to be different than we thought. And if they're not, and if they're lower than projected, I get it, that I'm the first one. I would never stand up here to say, fund this over the Vernal City Water Project that you just heard.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
I got one question for Cheryl, just because I live there, I see it, I do. When I pulled up the little design map from the new building connected to the other one, my first thoughts on that was nothing to do with recreation, but I thought, how are you going to get all these people in that parking lot up there? They have to go clear around, go through the main entrance, or if you design so that they're supposed to be a separate entrance.
Yes, in that design, there's a separate entrance. This facility will utilize a lot of bigger groups that will be coming in, as well as members. So there's a separate entrance and parking.
Is going to be an issue. You don't have that now.
No, parking is designed in there.
Is it? Okay, I just don't have it in the package.
Right.
That was a very conceptual moment. Yes, that's right. That's what I have.
Yeah, so the parking is designed all right, and then to have an encroachment.
Well, that's a whole other project, whole other
request. No, it's in this one.
It's all in this one. So that's not just the building, but it's the whole school. That's what I was getting.
Commissioner Miles and then Commissioner Whitfield.
Well, you know, the basin is number one in a lot of areas. And I really appreciate the package you put together. We have some number ones that are absolutely heartbreaking. Tri-County Health is the number one in overdose deaths. We are the number one in the state for suicide, and we overtook another area of the state for teen pregnancy. So three number ones that are absolutely heartbreaking. And I appreciate the point that you made about finding other uses of time for our kids. And I think it's a valid and worthwhile endeavor. It is a big lift. And I think, you know, probably the solution is more along the lines of this for our kids. But if we cut down tech time, it probably would help. My question was along the lines of maintenance. It shows $750,000 maintenance cost O&M. Is that primarily going to be user based, where you're going to recoup that revenue?
Will you let me know where you?
It was in your packet. I want to switch.
In terms of ongoing costs,
like,
for O&M.
Yeah, shows O&M.
For maintenance and ongoing.
So as far as the ongoing costs of this building, we would need more workers. Our maintenance cleaning crew, they're part-time. We definitely need, our building is really clean now, and that's a really good thing for our community. So we looked at probably around 5 to 10 part-time cleaning and maintenance. We did not foresee any extra full-time employees to do this. And then also our welcome representative who bring everyone around will need about 5 or 6 more of those. And then as far as putting on all the sports in the program, we currently do that now, so there was no extra cost in there. One of the thought processes in doing this and also in the proposal is to look at doing geothermal on this building. And it's not so much for the energy costs that will come to this building, but at that same time, we would retrofit our current building, which has the pool. And Richfield, you will soon find out, a pool is very expensive. And if they go through a gas war or a pipeline break, and so that's our goal there, is to reduce those O&M costs on our current building. We typically have a gas bill in December, in our building, which is mainly the pool, of $16,000 to $20,000 a month. During end of 2022, when they had that pipeline break and the gas board, that went up to $144,000 in 1 month, and then slowly dropped over the course of the year. So that's the goal, to do geothermal. We have enough space to do that and to then have a significant cost savings on our building. So I don't know. I'm not exactly sure the $750,000 as far as O&M.
But your O&M, you're planning on user fees paying for your O&M.
Mineral lease and user fees.
Okay. If you're looking at both. And I would just caution you on the geothermal.
Mm-hmm.
You are cold enough in Vernal, just like Duchesne. I would be cautious, and I would look very close to geothermal, because in the coldest months of the winter, it will not keep up.
Okay.
That's been my experience.
Well, that's a good, there are a few buildings which during this research that I wasn't aware that we're actually already geothermal in Vernal, our city building.
Are we talking about ground source?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and it's definitely a look, to really understand.
You bet. Commissioner Winfield.
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions, and I likely, once I hear the motion, would probably support this, but I'm curious, if you're going to build this in phases, is this going to be useful after phase one? And then what happens if there is no more CIB money for your phase two? Do you have other options where you can go looking for money to finish this project? Because I would hate for it to be unuseful and to be a half-finished project in the future.
Well, as Pete said, yes, it would be useful and speak more to that. If there are small avenues for recreation grants throughout the state, as many of you may be aware. So it would be more, so once my other thought process, I've had one conversation with our school district, and the idea with the school district, because they fight the same things that we fight as far as space and quality indoor space. But we talked about it a little bit, not anything with actual numbers, because I wanted to see the building there on the ground to be able to approach the school district and say, look what you could be a part of and for this price tag. But I'm hoping that after hearing that any possible substitute motion, then take that number to the school district. That would be my first step as far as getting any actual secondary funds.
Thank you.
Commissioner Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So is A, the geothermal cost figured in these estimates?
So kind of. The heating and cooling costs are figured into there. The way geothermal and the research that we've done, the cost for the to retrofit and to get the system is double the regular geothermal cost. But there are grants that are not really necessarily applied for. They're just given out at 50%. So basically, it would be the geothermal fills, the retrofitting of it for the pretty much the same cost as the HVAC.
Is there any solar figured into the budget?
No.
Just the observation. I'm in for those type of utilities, and they can design not only for climate but for volume. But the cost of this system would be enormous, and it's also benefited with solar rather than gas or electric. And I just think there's lots of questions on this project. I know we turned Richfield away because it was $14 million, and they came back with a $9 million project. But then all the questions were answered. Geothermal's been evaluated to see what that's going to cost, because you're thinking you're going to add that, where are you going to find that funding, and then what portion are you going to do now? There's just so many unanswered questions. I wonder if it would serve the board better if you'd come back next time with a more accurate revised plan with costs.
Well, and maybe Nate can speak more to that. There is a part.
With the phase.
With phases, yeah.
There is a geothermal component to the design building.
So it is unique with the beam design build. There is still some vagueness to the design. That's part of the delivery method of the design for the project. It's going to continue to evolve a little bit as we move forward and as the funding gets finalized. So initially, in order to kind of initiate the process, there needs to be funding first to initiate the design process, initiates some of the first phase. And then if we get into that, then those additional items can come into play. If that makes sense.
One more question. So that you're asking for 70% or 72% of the project cost to be funded by CIB. The other 28%, is that coming from mineral lease funds that come to the special services?
Project total right now is $20.9 million. That is with a request of a $5 million grant, a $10 million loan, and $5.9 million applicant match.
Coming and what for?
From USSC 1 mineral lease funds.
Okay. And you fund other things with your mineral lease funds through this? Because it sounds like you have other special service districts, and it's kind of the mineral lease funds are kind of apportioned to the various
yes.
special service districts. Is that how it works?
Yeah. So as Uinta County Commission creates the special service district, they allocate the mineral lease funds to the different special service districts.
And yours is solely for recreational facilities? Or?
That's tricky. There used to be six special service districts, and this one was solely recreation. A few years back, a Uinta County Commission, in order to save on costs and different things like that, they combined three of them, transportation, recreation, and one that's called impact mitigation, which is higher education and program support for the college and UV Tech. They combine those into one. They've been operating as one for 2 years. Currently, the new Uinta County Commission, and Commissioner Norton, who speaks to this as well, and she's the city commissioner on USFC One Board, but they are removing transportation out as their own standalone district, and that's why that they came last quarter. They're in the process of that, of separating those. So this district is still kind of two special service districts. We also have fire, health, and animal control. Not we, the county.
Okay. I'm going to say a couple things real quick and then a question for the board. I just appreciate everyone's comments. This is one of those, you know, kind of tough issues where we're trying to balance the benefit of the fund for all the rural communities, but also recognize that the Uinta Basin, you know, is severely impacted by natural resource development. And, you know, facilities like this in an area, in a region like the basin, I think do make a lot of sense. And I think there's quite, you know, there's quite a bit of merit to how we can accomplish that and when we can accomplish that, I think, is what we're trying to discuss. My question for the board is, are we wanting to try to fund a phase now, or do we want to ask them to come back after we've had a chance to kind of evaluate the project and come back a little bit more buttoned up?
So with that question, Mike, may I ask a few questions to help me clarify my answer to yours?
Exactly.
My concern, obviously the project in its merit, but because of the fact that you got three special service districts in one for the time you're in process of or complete a separation, and whoever's the appropriate answer for this, I don't know, it's more to the security of the funding. And I don't know because we don't have it. You're not attacking them in that district at this stage of the game. It is relies purely on mineral use funds that come through the counties. It's up to the commissioners how those get budgeted to the districts. Is that the way that works? So is there an agreement or does there need to be an agreement between the commission and the county and the district that these funds will support whatever the district is asking for in terms of securing the loan or securing the building in terms of O&M costs and whatever else. And maybe because the financials make it very difficult for me to work through to know that, well, we're going to be on mineral lease, but mineral lease is going to get hard for it. I mean, we're having the same problem you're having in terms of reduction of mineral lease funds over the last number of years. Are you playing the covenant? There's a minimum you'll always get, or are you feeling secure between the county and the district using this one?
And I'll let her speak too. As far as when a loan is closed through CID, if there is an agreement, a resolution that is passed in a UN commission meeting, talking about that you won't be reduced lower than the amount of your bond payment to CID. So the county does have that ability to, at that point, say yes or no. I'll let Commissioner Norton speak to the sectioning of them and how it's kind of been different over the districts have been primarily on a percentage basis, so when everybody's feeling good about mineral lease money, the districts are.
when it's bad, everybody feels the same kind of the setup now that they have, they are on a fixed amount. Those can be changed at any time. With the state, primarily they're changed in January. They don't get changed a lot because they've been on percentages. But during the combination of the three, in 2021 is when they went on a, all of them went on a fixed amount. Decided by the commission.
I might have to think that might answer questions, but I know one is transportation is, I would say, 99% completed separation from this district, from USSB 1. We are moving forward as if we are separated. We have projects we're working on, because I used to have a port. So that one is pretty much complete. As far as the mineral lease money, it was on percentages at one time. It has gone back and forth as money got tight. I think that's when they started deciding to put that amount so they had fixed costs and they knew what to expect. There was always one district that would get what was left from the remaining money, if there was any left. And that's the way it's been operating, I believe, since 2023. And there have been months that in the transportation district, since we separated them, that is that district that either gets the excess money or doesn't get any money. And I can tell you there have been several months already, they have not received any money. And also, some of our districts have been shorted their fixed amounts because that amount of money did not come to the county, but to the district. There wasn't enough money in the middle of the district. So there has been talk of percentages. I can't speak for the whole commission, but I would say that I like the fixed cost approach with possibly one district receiving if there's extra. That way those other four can move forward knowing they have fixed amounts. They should be able to count on for budgeting and for working throughout the year. And if special projects come up for those districts, then they can always come to the commissioners and ask for a different allocation of funds for a period of time to accommodate saving for those things at those times. Some of these districts do have savings. They have been able to put money aside. Since the mineral lease dropped in, I believe it was 2019, 2020, so low that some of these districts actually do like all of their savings to operate, and along with cutting all a lot of costs, thank goodness it has come back up enough that we don't see that right now, and they've been able to try to save it in. So if something like that happens, we can operate at least for a full year until we could work something else out.
Thank you.
Okay, another question.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I think I'd be ready to make a motion if that's all right.
Yeah. Okay.
That's okay.
Okay. So, as you've heard this discussion here, I would like to make the motion to not necessarily deny it, but to request you to come back at a later date with a phase one and what that would cost and look like with the projects that you want to do for that with the breakdown of the costs. That's my motion.
I'll second that.
Does that work with the design build contract? Does that get us to the funding meeting in June? Is that where we would have a proposal?
I think so. No, if we're on the pending list, Ms. Powers.
Pending list. You can be on the pending list for 6 months, come back to any scheduled CI.
Okay.
Okay. So if we had something ready, it could be presented
in June.
In May.
If you had a meeting, we
may have a virtual meeting in May.
Now you're like, I'm not going to have one.
If you came back in May, it wouldn't be a funding meeting. It might be a rediscussion. Funding meeting in June.
Unless we did a system.
I'm not saying you would, but it is within the exigency suggested.
Understood. Yeah, but I didn't hear that urgency for this right now.
Okay.
I just, for the purposes of putting numbers.
So we have a motion to place the project on a pending list with an expectation that they'll come back with some more information regarding phasing. And then second to the motion by Commissioner Brown. Is there any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, I'll call for the vote, please. Ms. Powers.
Ms. Brown?
Yes.
Ms. Hanson?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Mr. Lyle?
Aye.
Mayor Leeser?
Aye.
Mr. Miles?
Aye.
Mr. Taylor?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Winfield?
Yes.
Mr. Zimmer?
Aye.
It is on the pending list as requested. Thank you. I appreciate you guys very much. Thank you.
Okay, up next, item 4.3 is applications from the Uinta County Municipal Building Authority for a $700,000 grant for a cemetery multi-use building. We have Commissioner Sonia from Uinta County and some other gentlemen joining us on the project. Just a brief overview, please, and we'll turn it over to the board. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate moving chairs. So that's what, I'll go ahead and introduce him to Sahara with me. This is Jeff Herman. He is our facilities manager, and Mike Wilson, who is our court audit.
Welcome.
And I am Sonia Norton, commissioner. Thank you. We always appreciate you having come before this board. We have a request this time for our NDA. We are wanting to construct a building that would house, at our Vernal Memorial Cemetery, that would house equipment, because this facility is something we find has become very necessary at this time. It will help us invest in efficiency, security is a big item, and long-term cost savings for the cemetery operations for the county. The building is 150 feet. It is proposed to be 150 feet by 60 feet. It will have 7 bay doors, and at least one of those will be a pass-through door with a half bathroom. We manage 11 cemeteries, with this Vernal Memorial Cemetery being the hub in the central part of the community. Currently, the essential equipment that we'd like to house in this building includes trucks, trailers, landscaping tools, and right now they're being stored outdoors, leaving them vulnerable to not only the weather, but we have had several incidents of theft and vandalism with these vehicles. We feel like we can better serve the community and lower the cost if we could provide this facility to house these. And as I stated, the 11 cemeteries that we service, most of this equipment is housed here at the Vernal Cemetery, and then it's taken out to different ones when it's needed. We are working towards helping to not only keep these out of the weather and security-wise, but improve maintenance and just the overall well-being of our community. Many services right now are having to be completed outside in the elements, in the dirt, the mud, the snow. Very difficult for our people, and we hope this could help. In July of last year, we sent out an RFI, or a request for information, for the scope of this building, and received those back. And one was a local bid, one was an out-of-town bid, and both of them came in pretty close, and with the cost in the, for the facility, that included the construction, engineering, and a 20% contingency. That brought the project total into approximately $1.4 million. This project has really strong backing from our community, as you would well guess, and along with collaboration in our community. Uinta County is bringing $550,000 into this project, and Vernal City is contributing $150,000. We are asking the CIB if they would help us then bridge the gap to complete this project. As I was looking at what was said, I guess you call it the tool, I would call it the project summary sheet that you sent to us. I started asking a few questions, and I have asked a couple of board members in our area this same question. would have it been better for us to come asking for a $1.4 million grant? Because according to this summary sheet, we could have received $840,000 in grants if we went with the minimum. And the median would have been $420,000 if it
remained
the same. I think I am. That's what I was asking. Because would it change if we came in with a different proposal? Like I did see the city.
That's what the grant loan means for the full project rather than putting your skin in the game.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. We would be receiving more grants than we're even requesting grants with our skin in the game. Okay, and I just wasn't sure how that works.
And I think, Mr. Chair, this is something that I've brought up before. The tool does not accurately reflect when an applicant breaks cash. To Commissioner Martin's point, I mean, if they came in for $1.4 million, they would, according to the minimum on the tool, they would walk out of here with more grant.
And you're Bruce Adams saying, keep your cash.
No, and I think, you know, to that point, we don't want applicants to game it either.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what we're incentivizing or saying is you should game it. You should just keep your cash, and because we're not going to show any credit for it in the tool.
Can we confirm that that other tool works? Does it not give any credit to applicants?
No, there's
not
credit.
Not as much.
It might not be
going to
the level
of work. Yeah. Well, I'm not something we might
want to
address.
So we're waiting at
that. I will wait for applications.
Yeah.
Cash.
Or a appreciation for them taking the
assessment. Another proposal that you can come for $800,000 grand, but then we're not going to have the money to give you.
Right. Right. And, you know, we have been planning this, like we said in July of last year is when we put out the RFI. So we have been working together with the city and talking about options and things we can do, and that's where we came up with. We thought it would be good faith and planning to come forward saying we will put the skin in the game. We're putting half down towards this project.
Ask a couple of questions on the project. You know, aside from the funding amounts, which I know is an issue, but the project itself, it looks like this is fully insulated and heated for all of this equipment. So I guess my question is, you know, I'm guessing a lot of this is outside equipment. Why does the building need to be heated year-round for this equipment? Why can't we have a more basic facility, keeps it out of the weather, but knowing that most of the maintenance on cemeteries happens during the, you know, spring through fall, you know, not including the winter months where it's extremely cold, why are we trying to heat the whole building?
That is something we would be willing to look at, but from what we've worked with Jefferson facilities and the cemetery section, they felt like a lot of the work they do isn't more in the winter, not more of the work, but they still do work in the winter because they still have to bury people in the winter. Doesn't matter the season, they still have to bury people.
Yeah.
And so there is continuous maintenance on the equipment, and they felt that having a climate control is what they would like, or being able to work on the equipment in the building out of that, out of the weather.
What would it do to your cost to kind of heat some of the days heated as opposed to others?
Well, I don't think right now they have a plan to have it sectioned off, so it would be difficult to only be part of it. That is something we've always going to look at.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to tell you how to build it because I'm sure there's a lot of people that are a lot smarter than me that have looked at it. That stood out to me because I know there's probably a lot of equipment in there. So if you do need to work on equipment, having a section that you can work on at the feed, it makes sense. But just to heat the whole thing year round and burn it, that seems like it's going to be pretty expensive and really unnecessary. So.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Do we have a motion from anyone?
One more question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Also, another observation, 20% contingency for that size building is too low.
We're usually too low, so thank you. Yeah, but I know in past projects, we have set the contingency too low and then burned, so I think they would be trying to make sure we set half the contingency for this project.
So that's the building, it's not the core of the project.
And also, we know that Brandon is the last of the funds to be used. So, of course, we would reduce the project if we needed to.
Commissioner Brown and then Mayor
Baker.
No, I'm prepared to make a motion that we approve as requested.
Okay.
And I'd like to do a subject to motion if I could.
After you call.
Did it second.
Sure, I'll second.
Okay.
Okay, well, my substitute motion is give them $700,000 in all loan at 0% over 30 years.
Where we appreciate that, we would like to run a credit cost for you.
Look at what, $10,000 roughly in bonding.
So the civic has the same funding though with the 0%.
You'd have to go.
Yeah.
You'd have to go with a small, 8% of $2,000 or loan.
Loan.
You would have to have a percent for it to play.
To go out of the bond.
Yeah, you can 0% this, and then at least it returns back to the fund in a different bond on.
So all they're going to do is spread the cost over.
True. We're asking for it just because we have come in with the other half.
Okay. Well, we've got a motion on the table for a loan, 30 years and 0%. Is there a second to the motion, substitute motion? Okay, seeing none. So we'll fall back to the original motion to fund at the minimum as requested by the pool, which is $420,000 in grant, $280,000 in loan. I'm correct.
So, which was all grant.
Okay. So, the motion is to fund as requested.
With an exemption?
You've got to have an exemption.
Okay.
Special circumstance?
I don't know what the words are.
Okay, so the motion is to fund as requested. Seeing no more discussion, I'll call for a vote, please.
Treasurer Sloan?
Yes.
Ms. Hanson?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lyle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Mr. Miles?
Aye.
Mr. Taylor?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Winfield?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
This is on the priority list for possible funding in June.
Thank you.
And again, we really appreciate the opportunity to come and use your in the past. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, up next, item 4-4. Is the Brooklyn Special Service District. The request is for a $4,355,000 in grant for the Brooklyn Special Service District Culinary Water Improvement. Welcome to the representatives from the Brooklyn FSD and Sevier County. Thank you for being here. Please introduce yourselves and provide a brief overview.
Thank you. We appreciate being here very much. I'm Grant White, and four members of the Brooklyn SSD. Malcolm Nash, Executive Administrator for the Sevier County. And Park Diverse Macron, the Project Manager and Engineer for Johnson Engineering.
Thank you.
Well, I'll give kind of an overview of what we brought this project about. Let Malcolm express the funding and went through all the details and hard questions. Brooklyn SSD was organized because in the southern part of Sevier County, two water districts are out in the middle of rural, are outside of the city. They both purchased water from the Bustler town. Over the years, they became their infrastructure basically is back in the 70s. One did have some update to it in the late 80s. The other one had a wire system that was very old. The one was built basically down the road, and it came to an end, and then somebody down the road wanted to join the system in Amazon. So kind of a makeshift system that has served well, but we've looked at it and we know that we're going to have some major problems as far as maintenance here in a few years, just because of the age of the system and how it works again. Then the other part was a lower income impoverished area, and it's originally set up kind of a trailer park that has become from the homes, and it had a lot of 2-3 inch asbestos cement pipe, very small, and so we need to have that place entirely. Part of the idea of creating the SSD was that some areas these two systems had almost parallel systems, one was on one side of the road. And they're both trying to maintain and operate these systems. We decided, hey, the best thing to do is to come together to make a system that we can work together. It benefits both of us. So that's kind of how all of this came about. But the system overall is all it needs to be. So, talk about funding.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. We were able to work with Congressman Chris Stewart and then Congressman Malloy. It's community project funding. Used to be known as earmarks, and verbiage is starting to creep back into the vernacular. But we're able to, through those offices, obtain just a little over $3 million in grant funds. Through that program, we're now working with the EPA that administers that money. So we're close to having that finalized for construction. Sierra County put forward and administers $500,000 towards the project and using those funds to operate at this point, get engineering done. That part of taking care of. So our request is 45% funded already through those two sources, and approaching the board for the remaining part of that package in the grant.
Commissioner Lytle. So because of the federal funding and however you put this together with the county and the SST, is this whole project being required? Is that under statement?
No. It kind of depends on the construction part of the building. The engineering part, things we're doing now are not. EPA
climate.
I can have a little more context. Well, we've had several conversations with the EPA, and we're going to bid the project in two phases, essentially. It's all one big project. It all has to come together at one time to make it work. But we've tried to limit that scope to the EPA to ease off on some of the federal regulations that wouldn't be necessary through the system. And Malcolm also addressed that we have started the engineering. We're using the county's $500,000 portion of that to start. So our cost estimates are really along the lines of 60% design rather than a 30% conceptual design. And we are nearing shovel ready at this time. We do have the first phase to be ready to bid in June, and the second phase to be ready to bid probably August or September, and try to do both phases of coming fall.
Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, just a couple questions. This is a brand new district, is that correct? If I noticed you didn't have a budget, so I assume that's why it's an issue. I haven't seen it before.
We did submit a budget to the state auditor's office. It's correct. It's kind of a preliminary budget, if you will. So as these funding sources come in, we'll modify or amend the budget to get it more firm, but for purposes of meeting state code and audit requirements, we did submit one.
right now the county is serving as the financial agent for the fiscal agent for the district, so that all the proper accounting systems are in place.
You've got an interesting rate structure. I'm just curious why you decided to go with the base rate and then additional 1,000 gallons.
Yeah, I can fix that. So a couple of things. I need to apologize. I didn't notice this morning that the rate structure that was submitted is the old rate structure.
Okay.
We have updated the district has essentially adopted a rate increase last year that takes the base rate to $30 a month. We're looking at a projected budget, again, pending the results of our final funding, but our projected annual budget can be around $91,000 a year for the FSB. We'll involve a financial consultant as we get these last couple pieces of the puzzle pulled together and have them help us get this all projected, but that is an average water bill of about $44.20 per connection. I know in the packet it's showing our average water bill around $29 a month. So I did notice that discrepancy this morning as I went through it. So the other reason for the base rate, we essentially have five water users in the district that use about half of the total water quantity. Roughly the other half only use the base rate allocation. So, Brent pointed out that it is an impoverished area. Some folks even struggle to pay the $30 a month that they're currently paying. Keep it affordable for them, we've tried to hold the base rate and then pay for 1,000 gallons. We do have a few businesses that are paying between $500 and $1,000 a month for their water bill. So it's really that top end of our users that's essentially carrying all this infrastructure for the less fortunate in that area.
Well, and I don't want to sound harsh, but there's poor people all over the state.
Absolutely.
And your poor people aren't any more poor than my people. And if they can afford to pay $72 for their water bill a month, I think we can put it in comparison to what people pay for a cell phone plan, and I think having a drink of water is far more important than what people are paying for a cell phone. So I just think as you look down the road, I would consider raising my rate and putting it more in line with what you need to be able to kick this baby off long term.
So rates were increased back in 2022 and 2024 recently to take care of some of the other improvements that were made in the last few years. So it's not just trying to keep nothing, no rates. Yes. It's just sensitive to what we just did with the person passed.
Yes, Commissioner Zilker. Chairman Zanotti, please.
So you have already secured the grant. Federal grant is already secured. And you have that $500,000 cash in your account someplace to use.
Correct. Yeah, the $500,000 is in this year's budget. In this year's budget, so it's ready to go. The congressional funding has been approved. It was approved a year ago, so now it's simply the administrative matter, working with the EPA that administers this particular grant. And that done. So we've been working on that for 8-10 months now, getting that secured. So it's been approved. It's just a matter of filling out the paperwork with the EPA to make sure it's covered.
As a new entity, are you in a position to take some loan to go with this grant?
Not really. Because of the raise we did recently, because of the money we're bringing to the project, we wanted to bring a significant amount so that we didn't have to start out with the rate increase already from day one.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion. Based on the recommendation that Commissioner Miles suggested that you need to adjust your rates if you want to accordingly to be compatible with the whole state or even the neighbors that you have. And I also recognize that Commissioner Taylor also asked for some kind of skin in the game. There's plenty of skin in the game at this time, so I'd like to make a motion to accept or approve as requested.
Thank you. I'll second that.
Can we have an
exception
required in
hardship, there's nothing there.
Hardship?
Yeah, there's nothing
there. Okay. Was it seconded?
Yes. Can we please add
plans and specifications for the project must be reviewed and approved by the Division of Drinking Water prior to advertising the project for bids.
I'll include that in my motion.
Okay. Okay. Discussion on the motion. Commissioner Brown.
One thing that hasn't been discussed is one of the main goals for this project is to reconfigure and help that area become more vitalized. We are combined, but currently the lot frontages are 50 foot, so we're combining two lots into one lot, so it gives us 100 foot frontage, which will allow homes to be built. The county has acquired a few lots over the last few years, non-payment of taxes. We are working with R6 area government to do some self-help housing, and with the running cost of those lots out there, it's going to be very, very affordable housing, and it's really going to help the area, not only just that area, but Sevier County, affordable housing. And if you're familiar with the self-start homes, that's going to bring several young, vibrant couples into that area. It's just going to, we've currently cleaned off several lots to bare ground as they become not only available, but a lot of people inherit these properties. They don't even live in the state, and when they find out what they've inherited, they have no interest of owning them. So we're just trying to make it go away. Not only that, and then another issue is the area is very underserved with fire protection, which you would understand if someone had 2 inches. When it gets down the end of the line, there's hardly any pressure at all. This is a great water project. I fully support it. I've been involved with this area since I've been Lake Commissioner. This is my ninth year working with this area.
Thank you. I'm just channeling my predecessor, Mr. Adams. These are the kind of projects that really need the most help. You know, and I already did it more than once, and in my own case, for Thompson Springs, and these impoverished areas are important that we be able to help them, so I'm supporting
it. Thank you. Okay, with that, I'll call for a roll call vote, please. The motion is to place on the priority list as requested.
The motion made by Nami Zanati, who is the second?
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Okay. Treasurer Schwab?
Yes.
Ms. Hampson?
Yes.
Mr. Bartholomew?
Yes.
Mr. Miles?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Mr. Miles?
Aye.
Mr. Taylor?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Winfield?
Yes.
Mr. Simon?
Aye.
Motion carries with the chairman saying yes.
Thank you. I didn't want to spend too much time on the other part of it. We are also at the same time going to be changing the land use and the zoning of the area. So we change the entire trajectory of the community and of the area, so we don't have this perpetuating. So this improvement will actually allow and incentivize single-family residential homes to be constructed. Even during the planning process, I've received a number of phone calls from people in the area. Some developers say, hey, when this is done, give us a call because we'd like to start building some homes in this area. So it's having that overall picture of what they're trying to accomplish.
When we go on our retreat from the motel on the bus, we will make it swoop out through there. Let us see what you voted on.
That's great.
Yeah, perfect.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to take a quick 10-minute restroom break, but we're absolutely going to start back at 11:21. Quick break. Thank you. Great. Okay. Up next, we have item 4.6. Excuse me, 4.5, which is the Hanna Water and Sewer Improvement District. The request for $668,000 in grant for a district office and warehouse.
invite representatives from the Anna Water and Sewer Improvement District up to the dais. Please introduce yourselves. Provide just a very brief overview of the project, and we'll turn it over to the board. Yeah, well.
My name is Lenny Roberts. I'm the clerk for Turner Water. This is Jeff Richard. He's our engineer. We are applying for a 100% grant, $668,000 for an office slash warehouse space for our District 2 median and also store supplies and our district vehicle. We would have a 40-by-60 office building warehouse space. It's a one-level building and have storage area, warehouse, file room, a restroom, office, a skater room, and an amenities room for our district. And then also a garage space for our district's vehicle. We have asked for 100% grant due to the financial situation we have. We are a very large service district, living on a lot of customer base, very spread out for the rural area. So our debt income and the existing funds and that we have in our finances are why we requested what comes to the grant.
Sound like financial hardship to me, but we'll see what the board says. Questions for the board? Questions from the board, excuse me.
I have some questions. Okay, so you say, so the tool is supposed to take into account your current financial situation. Can we confirm if that's the case? Did you look at their financial situation?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, everybody comes and says they don't have money, right? But that's why we have a tool that helps us analyze that, figure it out. So, I guess.
We did discuss in our public hearing for this the possibility of a different ratio of loan versus grant. So the board did say that we could potentially look at a 20% loan versus 80% grant. But we do have existing loans from the infrastructure from the beginning of Turner Water. We also have a pending loan that we will begin with from our next year for an infrastructure expansion that we're working on right now. So it would be absolutely recommendation.
Okay, so I guess my first question is, what's your water rate then?
Right now we, if there are 1,000 gallons at $40 a month, that takes into account people that have meters installed that are not hooked to anything. So once they're hooked in, they pay that $40 a month, and then it's 1,000 from 8,000 gallons to $60, and then from there it's $3.50 per 1,000 gallons. And we did just increase starting September 1st of 2020.
To Kurt's point, that was kind of what I was trying to say earlier about the tool. I think the tool is maybe not working as well as we intended or thought it would be, because we often have communities about the same size of Panicum, and they always fall outside of the tool, and it's supposed to account for that financial hardship, and we almost always, it seems like lately have been going with an exemption, which in most cases I think was the appropriate thing to do, but my point was I think that the tool may not be calibrated quite right, because we keep getting results like this when we would hope that, in the spirit of being a softy, I'll propose a motion that we fund as requested with a financial hardship.
I'll second. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Comments.
Yeah.
I think once you've seen one entity, you've seen one entity too. And I think, we want to, in effort, make everyone fit into a box. The problem is there are so much criteria that goes into putting them in that box. So some entities may be bonded to the hill, some may be taxed, some may be non-taxed, some may have sales tax. I mean, it's a full range of gaps. And so trying to make a blanket statement on this.
That's why you have an application review process.
And that's why they come to the board.
Yes.
comment. They also ranged in scoring with phase on the 202. I think they were the highest score of 171 in terms of those criteria that we're speaking to. And that suggests to me also in the use of the tool, but the tool does provide, although it may not provide the nuances that we provide to see, but it also gives us kind of a broad number to work from if we want to trust the team in that part. In how it's scored out of 100. In terms of how we want to present that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, comments, discussion? Yeah, I'll call for a vote, please, Ms. Bowers.
The first was Ms. Hanson and Commissioner Lyle.
Yes.
For a $668,000 grant, financial hardship exemption. Commissioner Spock?
Yes.
Ms. Hanson?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lyons?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Greenfield?
Yes.
Commissioner Simon?
Aye.
The motion carries unanimously. Chairman of the team.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, up next is item 4.6. From Duchesne City, we have a request for $3,852,000, $2,861,000 in grant, $954,000 in 30 years, and 0% for water and sewer infrastructure for Area D, Blue Bench, D Hill. Welcome.
Yes, thank you for staying with us. I'm Mayor Rodney Rowley. Appreciate you having us out the opportunity to come today. You guys have, we've been great partners. You guys have helped us with most of our problem solving for the last years since you've been here. So thank you for seeing us. I guess first we need to kind of report. We have another on the package that we have in 2023, but we have not closed on yet. We spoke with Candace yesterday and with our bond attorney, but we'll have the closing on that project on the 22nd. We've had a little bit of problem getting the bid. We've had to bid that project twice. Prices kept rising and rising in Area A of our last one, so that's kind of the report that we But we do have a contractor in place, and hopefully we close that project and close it and get that contractor going. So, thank you.
Questions from the board? Motion? Chairman Zanotti.
This is going to be Mr. Matka, Mayor. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Since you have had a little bit of our money in the past, would you willing to take a little bit less today, a little bit of a loan to go to France?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I'd like a motion minimum.
Second.
Motion to form the minimum. Is it the tool minimum recommendation? Motion to place on priority list at the tool minimum recommendation. Chairman denied, seconded by Commissioner Taylor. Discussion on that item. None. I'll call for a vote. Please.
Would you, for the applicant's sake, explain what the minimum numbers are?
Yeah, you bet. Absolutely. So the minimum in the motion reflects $2,670,000 in grant, $1,145,000 in loan, 30 years at a half a point.
Thanks for clarifying. I've seen a couple different documents.
One on the screen is there.
Well, it was
Thank you, Jack. Yeah, it was a different than when we went to AOG. It was a bit different than what we got in January, so we kind of confused about that.
You bet.
Is our numbers better or worse?
Yeah.
Great. I'll call for a vote. And Ms. Powers, thank you. Thank you, Chairman.
I just want to add, for the information for Duchesne City,
as the first project in Area A is closing, they expressed some uncertainty as to whether this is their final, these are their final numbers. They are placed on the priority list, and they won't be funded until June, which gives them time to provide a final number to the board in June. So I don't know what, and I know that you don't know what you don't know yet, because you're going to get into the ground for Area A, and this kind of is a continuation, as I understand. So I just wanted the board and the applicant to be aware of the word. No, we know. And we hope that we get this project accurate and shovel ready so that the money can go to work more quickly. And you can get your Treasurer Spahn, do you have any questions about that?
This has the same caveat at the end that they work through June 1.
Yes,
the same.
Sorry. Yes, sir.
Treasurer Spahn?
Yes.
Yep.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lyles?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Lyles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Aye.
Thank you. That motion passes. On the priority list for possible funding in June.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Item 4.7 is Spring City. Request is for $1,128,323 in grant for the Spring City Multipurpose Building in Centerfield County. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for considering our application and for letting us make this brief presentation. I'm Chris Anderson, the mayor of Spring City. I'm here with Chad Harvey, our fire chief, and Mike Black, our deputy treasurer, who helped put together the application. By way of quick introduction, Spring City is a small but growing community in northern San Pete County. It's also a designated historic district. We've got a crack volunteer fire department. They're in line to get a new fire engine from the fire district, but we don't have any place to put it. We've got substandard facilities, and we've been looking for the last year as to what we do to bring them up to snuff for the next 30 to 40 years. We consider building a standalone new fire station, buying new property, or upgrading the facility we have. We've concluded that upgrading our current facility makes the most sense. The city and donors have already put upwards of $300,000 into the facility to start upgrading it, to put in ADA compliant bathrooms, to rehabilitate some of the rooms so we can put our local art gallery into the building. And so we're looking to add some bays to the building and to also upgrade the facility so we provide needed amenities and facilities for the fire department, including showers and training areas and those kinds of things. So that's my brief introduction. I'll let Chad give you the details and Mike fill in. So.
I'm Chad Hardy. So some of the questions that the why we came up with this, as compared to building holding facility, as probably you guys have seen quite a few times, for me as the fire chief, it's about fiscal responsibility. We're a small rural community with very little tax-based income. And so for us to be able to take care of a $7 to $10 million project on a new building would be unfeasible for us. What it came down to is what we needed. We need room to be able to facilitate the training of the firefighters. We need room to be able to take care of the equipment, keep it housed inside. And we also need room to be able to keep the equipment up to running condition as far as in a heated building, being able to have all our equipment such as the SCBAs, being able to to service them to be able to keep the tanks full, ready for the next call. And that's kind of what we've tried to do is design from the existing, if you look on the schematics, on the left-hand side, you'll see our existing building, which is a three-bay, just a single side. We have the back end. We've actually got four trucks in that three bays. The addition is a 50 by 70 building that has a drive-through bay that would be able to accommodate not only our new engines that our fire district has been able to help us fund, because our existing fire engine is brand new in 1991. So we're used to old stuff. But the additional side, because it's a drive-through, we're also looking to facilitate having an ambulance located in there. Our closest ambulance is our next town up, which is Mount Pleasant, or Ephraim in the other direction. And so right now, if there is an ambulance call, we don't have our closest time for an ambulance is easily 10 minutes. So we're trying to come up with that proposal to be able to facilitate the future growth. That existing building that we have is roughly 30 years old. Looking at the growth rate at which Spring City has, we anticipate this new addition to be able to take care of our needs for the next 25 to 30, depending on the growth rate. But that's kind of what I've got right now. I guess
and I'll just add that one of the reasons we're looking at this, adding to this building as opposed to building a new one, is it lets us maintain the central location for the fire department. And if we don't have to build a new building that would fit within the historic nature of this historic district, we can rehabilitate this building in a way that fits in with that district without creating a problem.
After Chief Hardy made his recommendation, I'm going to take mine. And I'll tell you why. I'm a really good example of the situation. I laid under a tractor with a tire parked on my arm for 30 minutes. 30, gentlemen, lady, because the ambulance couldn't get to me. Guys like me need this project, and I did not come with this recognition. So you're looking at a gentleman right now that's asking you to take someone like myself, cut the time down, get us an ambulance. We need a fire truck. I've sat in my farm and watched a fire truck called to the buffer zone. Mr. Barcom, you know what I'm talking about. And at the same time, a few moments later, a fire truck was called to the city itself. Well, I posed the question, what fire truck? The other one was responding in the county. We need a fire truck. We need an ambulance. It's that simple. We don't have the tax base. We don't have the money. We need some help. Any questions?
One quick question or clarification is we're not eligible to fund
equipment. I tried my best.
That's okay. Yeah, I understand that. But I just want to make sure that the board and everyone is clear that, regarding any motion that's made. So we need to distinguish that or fill that out.
To address some of that equipment that you guys might be referring to, it's understandable, table, chairs, all that kind of stuff. The kind of the equipment that I put on some of these numbers is for like a turnout extractor. Firefighter turnout gear costs roughly $5,000, tops and bottoms, and helmet. When we clean them, we can't have just a normal washing machine. Because what will happen is it'll tear up the insulation that helps keep the firefighter safe. The equipment in that regard is basically an extremely expensive washing machine that can wash it and get the carcinogens out of the turnout gear so that we can be able to continue to use them and not just continue to have dirty gear.
Just to clarify, so Candace, feel free to jump in here, with the equipment that I have just got in notes is for the vehicle exhaust system. Is that correct?
And then I can address that too. The newer design of the fire departments, like if anywhere up here in Salt Lake, they're going to have three different areas. They're going to have a red zone, a yellow zone, and a green zone. The red zone is where you're going to be in your turnouts, you're going to have the vehicles, you're going to have all that kind of stuff. And so everything that you wear is going to be subject to, the environment. The yellow area is where you're going to transition from your street clothes into the turnout gear. And then the green area is anything inside the building that is able to, you can have normal street attire and not have to worry about getting contamination on you. As time has went on, as the NFPA has came out with more suggestions and standards, they've wanted more distinction between that. One of the main causing areas inside the fire station itself is the vehicle exhaust. Almost all the equipment we run is diesel. And so inside of a building, you're going to have the vehicles inside the building. On most accounts, you'll have it plugged into air so the air tanks are filled up. You'll also have it plugged into a block heater if needed, so that anytime the firefighters come in, you can unplug those two, fire it up, and pull it out. There's still going to be exhaust. We can get away from that. As a group start to continue to become more aware of the cancer-causing stuff that's all around us, the suggestions keep saying, well, you need to have a special room. You need to get all the equipment out of the bay. You need to have all that stuff. Our answer to that, rather than having a bigger building with a larger footprint, was to have that exhaust be able to duct it out. So,
I understand the rationale. Thank you for that, but I'm looking for clarity from staff regarding the concerns with, equipment. So,
right, there are various prices on this. If you look at the breakout, because they have a lot of estimates. The concern has been that CID has denied equipment such as described in firefighting equipment estimate. It's not the exhaust, that's fine. The roof, the building, but the firefighting equipment, it often has been, anything that it doesn't have a shelf life, longevity, the board has not funded anything that can walk away. So because they do capital infrastructure.
I see. I misread that. So the motion would just need to exempt the $82,729.50 in firefighting equipment. Is that fair?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Mr. Bartholomew. So, a couple comments. These guys have worked really hard to get certified. Chad, he is not only a volunteer fire department, but he's twice. And at least one son,
two sons
on the fire department there. That's commendable. The truck that he's talking about is part of the group of trucks that we gave them a year ago. They're coming to fruition now. They'll be delivered in August.
Some of them as early as the end of this year, in January, depending on when they come off the assembly line.
Yeah, right there in that period of time, and that's why the need for this station here. Spring City, if you haven't ever been there, you need to go through there. It's just a little community that's absolutely beautiful, back up against the hill there, and kind of isolated from everything. They have one cafe there. This is a German cafe, and it's open until, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And that's it.
One small gas station.
Easy, that's our tax base for
things. Yeah,
a lot of very historical buildings.
Hey, gentlemen, thank you so much. So we're talking about a building here, but you were just mentioning the need for some vehicles as well. Do you anticipate coming back to CID for funding for the vehicles?
I think when we were talking about an ambulance, there was an ambulance that services the area, but it's parked in Mount Pleasant.
So
we just want to have room in the building to have that vehicle.
Okay, I understand.
There.
Okay.
So we're not looking to buy a new vehicle.
No, that's okay.
The area is serviced by North Sand Pete Ambulance, and they have their main hub is in Mount Pleasant, but a lot of the other fire stations are in the cities around that area. They have enough room to have enough their ambulance. That makes the response time not much quicker.
Okay.
So you share the space with the district, or not the district, you share it with the district and provide the space for an ambulance and ambulance that they can put there?
That's exactly how it would be. We would make that space available. It would depend upon them to be able to furnish it with EMT certified personnel,
which is the lifeguard.
It is, but we also have quite a few people in our town.
We have six in our town that are certified.
they actually have to leave their house. If there's a call in Spring City, they have to leave their house, drive up to Mount Pleasant, get in the ambulance, come back down to Spring City.
And that's going to make it hard on making space and get a bid for them to say they can't put one in.
We'll make the option available then.
One more question, sorry. No, you're okay, thank you. So in looking back at CID's history with your community, it looks like some of the previous times you've come to us, we've attached an interest rate of 2.5% or 1% onto some loans, and they were smaller amounts than this. But do you have the ability, do you think, to you were able to do it in the past to attach a little bit more loan onto this?
Right? Yeah, the higher loans we got for another building, which is an old elementary school that was turned into our city hall. And luckily we have a nonprofit in Spring City that helped fund that based on the kind of the historical tourism, the great funds. And so they were able to pay off those two loans several years early. So the fire department isn't exactly within their purview. You know, we can certainly lean on them to help with dealing with any loan, but yeah, our concern is just
so you have a separate partner
that's
responsible for that sector.
I'm not getting to the application fast and that's all just asking. I mean, what's your portion? What are you putting into the project?
I was just saying, we've already put in like upwards of $300,000 in the building. And so this is in doing the bathrooms, rehabilitation of some of the walls, restoring some of the rooms that have been used as a art gallery, painting, and other things. And so that's on top of the cost of now doing rehabilitation for the fire department. And that's what the city and the owners have put in.
And is that reflected in your application?
No, because that was, this is just the cost of the portion of it.
And then after listening to your minutes, it sounds like you anticipate a little bit of what would possibly be applied to it. You'll want it.
Maybe. They don't want it, but well, okay, go ahead.
In order to stay within the tool, I'll make the motion knowing that there might be more discussion, but my motion would be to go with the tool recommendation of the minimum at $667,323 for a $452,000 loan at 30 years at 1%.
I'll second.
Okay. Thank you for the motion to place on the party list at the minimum recommended range. Comments, discussion on the motion?
One question. Can you do that?
I'm rolling it through in my mind right now. I may have to sell a tractor, but I think I can pull it off. I know, I did. Don't buy a deer.
For the record?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Don't go with green.
I
want to
know that.
And you're going
to we'll make it.
So I'll call for both in this powers, please.
A motion by Commissioner Lytle and seconded by Commissioner Taylor was to fund the tools minimum, which is $676,323 grant and a $452 loan, 30-year at 1%. Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Mr. Miles?
Aye.
Mr. Taylor?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Winfield?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
The motion carries unanimously to the chairman of the meeting.
Thanks for the invitation.
Thank you
for coming up.
Nice trip.
We have to go back home.
You didn't come on a tractor?
We don't like those tractors anymore.
I left my wife lambing the sheep and cattle and the cows, so I don't know what I'm going to do.
It would take you a train wreck.
We won't be together. Yeah, we've got to grab a steak.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 4.8 is a request from the town of Scipio for a grant for $111,000 for a water meter upgrade. I'd like to welcome representatives from Scipio to the dais.
Mayor Tom Mehmet, living Scipio on the line. For a small farming ranch in the community, we get the two people from the Wasatch Front moving in for retirement purposes. Small and far from any hospitals or grocery stores, we do have a new service station. The project we're looking to do, we put a new water line in Scipio in back in the 80s, and we never upgraded our meters or anything. We've upgraded them as a broker system, and the last year we've been putting our steady relief meters in as we put new homes in that. So we're just looking to get our infrastructure up, make a little more modern. We only need our meters every 3 months, and you know we're losing water loss to the old meters. In our last meeting, don't get that very often. We lost one guy at maybe 400,000 gallons of sewage. So it's going to cost too much money. Good for the system, bad for the people. So by having this, we can save money and save water and help the community out. On our service, we're going to pay for the installation, also for the training of the program. You might have to buy a pad or something. Like this. So, yeah, it'll all be bad. I'll be on Shannon instead of Radio B, so they can spot change. I might be trying to.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'm prepared to make a motion to approve as requested.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Do we need a hardship? We need, yeah, sure. Yeah. Answer for hardship?
Yeah.
Motion to approve as requested by Commissioner Brown, placed on the priority list, seconded by Mr. Winfield. Call for a roll call vote, please, Ms. Brown.
This is placed on the priority list for potential funding in the June funding meeting. Treasurer Swell?
Yes.
Ms. Hanson?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Vidal?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Winfield?
Yes.
Mr. Sonari?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously. Chairman Stevens.
Thank you
very much.
We love your community. Go through there all the time.
Yeah.
Beautiful place.
Thanks.
Yep. Hometown of Brandy Grace.
That's right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
CEO of the year. I hold Brandy to Tech Club for all the time she was in there. So.
Well, maybe you have some stories for us that you can tell us later. We want some stories with you.
Okay, up next is item 7.1 under supplemental request. This supplemental request is from the Zion Mountain Special Service District. They're requesting $6,413,000 in a loan, 30 years at 1%. This would bring the total CIB funding with supplemental to the project to $21,963,000. I'd like to welcome the representatives from the Zion Mountain Special Service District to the dais. And we have former CIB Chairman, Gordon Walker. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's always fun to be on this side of the table.
Good morning, or in this afternoon, we're afternoon by 7 minutes, my bad.
But as you know, this project's in full swing. In fact, we got roofers and insulators and rock layers there work today. So if you brought back the construction noise, we'd all feel a lot more comfortable in this meeting. A little bit of an intro and update. I just felt like it was kind of already going. You have to hear a little bit about the status of the project. The highway project that was associated with this overall area is complete. UDOT has done a really excellent job of executing on that. The roundabout is in. And the pedestrian underpass and trail that leads down towards the east entrance of Zion National Park is there, as well as some other improvements and turnouts that were along the Highway 9 there. As you leave Zion National Park to the east side and go towards Mount Carmel in Kane County. So that project is, like I said, finished and gone well. We're in the middle of construction. I'll do some introductions. You know Gordon, apparently. Tom Clint is here. They're here from Westland Construction, but the division successor. That's our project management or construction management division. As you know, with a project like this, there's lots of numbers to keep track of. So they're our third-party construction management group. And they might have some answers for you to ask. And so the project's ongoing. It continues to be supported by a few counties around the area. We work a lot with, obviously, Kane County and Washington County. And everybody's looking forward to the completion of this in 2026. The park has a policy change on the tunnel. So the parking in this facility becomes critical, even more so at that point. And it will have a long life. And so we are here to get a supplemental request. I'm going to probably let Gordon break the ice on that, if he's willing, and talk about it, or these guys. We appreciate hearing us out today for this supplemental request.
So this request is for $6,413,000, which seems high. The obvious questions are why. If you look at the timeline of this project, when we first came in, actually, this was originally requested by Kane County. And because of the way politics was, they worked to pass it off to the Special Service District. And so it's been in the pipeline for quite a while. This is truly a public private partnership of the great, everybody's dream of a public-private partnership between the federal government, actually park service, and also nonprofits. This project, in addition, has brought to the table close to $6 million in additional funding so that that could be added on. In going through, and actually there was a change in project management. The current team went through stick by stick. We made sure of that. And that is the last sheet on your folder. But we still have, and there's still $4.5 million of the original grant, of the original allocation of CID. We have another grant coming of $2.7 million. And the total cost to complete in addition is $6,413,000. And so we've taken all of that into effect under review to make sure that we were covering everything. So I don't know, I have just a couple of pictures here, but let me just show you on this. Actually, when I looked at it this morning, I thought, okay, this is a postcard. But the construction only halfway done, it's a postcard. And if you look carefully on this, you
see some new trails that have gone in right against the valley. The road comes down in this area and leads right into the park. And that will, you can just pass that around. Lytle. So you can see what is happening. This is a wonderful project. It really is. I must admit that I've made all the mistakes in my life of falling in love with projects. I said not to do it. But this one has. So there you have it. At this point in time, we're very confident. We know what the inflation numbers have been. Assessor, which is the parent company of this group, oversees projects worldwide in building. And there's a fellow that was landing at the airport. He said, well, I can come up with 40% easily during the time. That's the construction costs for the increases are. That's really the main reason, because the project is taken longer than we had hoped in the transition from the county to the special service districts, and now it's going really well. Questions?
Thank you.
Questions?
Yes, Chairman Zamora. For those of you who have had a chance to travel through this section of the new project, would you please make that a schedule for the next 2 weeks? You can call Gordon, you can call any of those representatives and myself to show it to you. It is a beautiful project. We created it so much that we had to use our put in the money and then work to it. So we've done the roundabouts, roadways, underpass, and it's looking beautiful and much safer than the west side entrances. We promise that you're not going to wait for hours and hours to be checked, not in the west side. You come in, you're checked in, and there has plenty of good facilities, restrooms, rest areas, and you're going to have the historical side, I think, the nature museum. It is just a beautiful project, and the money that is spent in there, every penny is going to count, especially if the park decides to close the tunnel for the tourists and buses. This is going to be even more attractive. 2026, I believe, 2026 is the time that the park is going to make the station to close. So I would recommend, and I give my support to this project.
Thank you. How did you get the Park Service
to work with you on a new entrance?
Just a new entrance to the park?
No.
I'm just trying
to understand if because I know the Park Service, the policy of moving towards timed entry reservation system, really limiting access. I'm just curious how you could get them to support, if they did, more access or enhanced access. This has not been the policy of the Park Service that I've dealt with.
Yeah, they've been collaborating with us on that from the beginning. And actually, they see this as a big asset, what they call their visitor use management plan. They've been looking for a facility to contact travelers on the east side since the 80s. They've had it in their general management plan since, I think, 2001. So it was almost like, thank you, because they had no ability to do it within the boundary of the park, right? So when we started to discuss this with the district and then the counties, we're all concerned about their management of that aspect of the park and the economic plan and so forth. So this actually becomes a positive management tool for them.
Yeah.
It's probably the most significant thing.
Well, I can understand that. They just don't always recognize the responsible, right?
Yeah, no, if they were here, they would speak very positively about this as a resource for the traveling public, and as well as with the educational corridor that you mentioned that we're also part of this, the local schools and things will get a lot of outdoor education opportunities and things that has kind of evolved that, we start out as a visitor center, and we're calling it a discovery center. Because it has become and that's what happens when you collaborate, right? You just get better ideas than you could ever author on your own. And it's exciting that way, even though on a daily basis it's the pain of my existence. But I can say that, you know, we'll all be proud of them when we're done. And we'd like you to all come down, check it out. But it's not easy. It's a tough job. So finally got these guys.
And our suggestion for the pistols was 5.4 million.
And the east side, which everybody just thinks that's a throwaway, there's 1.25 million people that come and go through that. The view that you're looking at on that picture, this abuts the national park. I mean, it's right there. And when you come out, Kevin has put a preservation area for buffalo.
Conservation use for this. Yeah, we don't want it to become streams, right? We want it to be conserved and more open. So
it is beautiful there.
Yeah. The intent is not to have that same gateway cluster thing.
So we'll get them there. I might get them on the Bryce Canyon.
That's right. Because when they close that tunnel, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So that leads me to my question. I did realize they're closing the tunnel. I'd rather come in on the east side there. So there will be no direct route then?
No. Oversized vehicles.
You can still get cars and stuff.
Oh, still cars can go.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
And part of the initiative is the transportation system that will be, you know, implemented on the east side as well. Oversized vehicles out of the equation that you can have a consistent headway on your shuttle. Move people without traffic from the park.
Commissioner Miles and Commissioner Wardle.
It's kind of interesting coming in at this stage where this was a previously approved project, but I think there's kind of a few questions lingering on the financing, you know, who's backing. I didn't see that, and forgive me if I missed it. The application, but who's going to pay for the loan?
It's financed through a TIF participation agreement with the county, so tax-based. And we did amend that to accommodate for an additional $7 million allocation that would exceed our request today. So that amendment has been made with the county on the tax plan.
So in the original public hearing that you had, that it was this amount was included in that.
The first public hearing was for 15.5, but then even for this one, while it wasn't necessarily, I understand it wasn't really necessarily required, it was just recently, within the last couple of weeks, to cover the increased amount. So that has gone through all of the processes tax increment financing has been expansion has been approved.
Thank you. I just didn't see.
That's the payback question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw some old documents related to when it first came in. So,
yeah, it was an amendment this time.
Commissioner Weidel? Just to pursue my clarity, I guess. This supplemental amount is just to cover costs of the original project. It's not an additional any change in scope.
No, it's basically, you know, there's tweaks that occur in any building process, but it's not a change in scope. What the main factor is the cost has gone up. Our electrician came back and his original quote because of the time that's passed, and he's got to speak to that probably better than me. There are any views on that? It's been price escalation and some of those things that happen in the building process. And just surprised.
And then it exceeded your contingency on the expense. Thank you.
Other questions for the applicant? Motion?
I have a couple questions.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so when's it going to be finished, the center, and when is it going to be open, complete, ready for the public?
Actually, give them the money.
2020. First quarter of next year.
First quarter of next year is when you plan to have it open. Okay.
Almost the same time the car closes.
The other day. Yeah, we need to
have it hit about the same time.
Okay. And then then you mentioned tax increment, so this is being funded through some sort of a tax increment that you worked out
tax
with the county. And that goes to the special service district.
The county reverts it to the district.
Okay, so you don't have any sort of hit that's been involved there. The special service district has kind of taken on that role of backing the financing that will, I mean, it's this plus, do you have any other financing?
We have some grants.
Okay. And the rest of it's grants? So this is your only loan on the project? It's CID? Okay. Okay. So was the other loan 1% or what was their other financing? Okay, so that's why they're asking.
But they're involved, yeah.
This would be a separate bond. Okay.
So that can change on this one?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Well, I would make a motion to fund as requested with a 2% loan rather than a 1%. That would be my motion.
Thank you. Motion second, I'm saying to comment from the applicant, yes.
One of the reasons that we came in for the 1% was because financing on this has been very tricky. The special service district has brought in about approximately just shy of $6 million in additional skin in the game, as it were, to cover the cost to make this up. This is a project that is, those of you who have been through or know what the area is like, you'll recognize the value, particularly just coming out of the budget session of the legislature, in fact, the importance of tourism and the importance of Zion. Right now, the problem is Springdale has really they're really maxed out. I mean, they are maxed out. And to the point where the press says it's hard to get into. And what this can do is this can open up those doors again and really make it better. So I would hopefully encourage you to reconsider the motion on the interest rate. One thing we never did come in for was grants, even though this is one of the best public-private partnerships around where lots of people participating are involved. So I'll just stop there.
Do you not feel, Gordon, that a 2% rate would be plausible to make that payment, or why are you saying you don't want to take
it? I'm like everybody else sat in this chair. It was just something that came up my back today. look, this will be paid, no question about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you've got the county sticking behind us. You've got a lot of other funding coming in.
Right.
This is a small special service district. I don't know what your hardship is. I mean, use that for part of the special service district. I'm just asking only to consider the fact, the type of the project, the partnerships that are involved, the sources that have come together, the entities of the state that are going to rely on this more and more. No one relies on an empty building or anything like that. I understand that. 5 years down the pike, maybe none of us will know the difference. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Here's where I'm coming from. I think you actually probably should have some great revenues coming through there, especially if they build the tunnel and they start diverting more traffic.
Not us. CID properties are not able to
generate funding.
Well, no, but right. the district's getting the tax increment. We already talked about that, right?
So the tax increment
is what's going to pay the loan back. And I'm saying, on behalf of the entire CIB, you see how many hardship cases that we have come through here without any ability to have revenues to pay the fund back, right? So in this situation, I mean, market rate on this would be, you know, 4.5-5% at least. So it's not like you're not getting a pretty sweet deal for the benefit that the state's getting. I just think that a 2% rate, given the revenues that are coming in, seems pretty reasonable to me, but that's my thought. Somebody wants to overturn me, they can.
The median recommendation was at 2.5%, but with
some grant. Yeah.
With some grant.
Yeah.
Chairman Zanotti.
The fact that this is inflation, that's going to change the scope, have modifications to plans. In fact, that they wanted to finish the project the way they had borrowed it, there was limitation of coming back to the CRB to have more money. The fact that everyone was here, you guys and us and the rest of the world was going to go through that section to enjoy the beauty of their project. And the fact that, yes, Kevin himself has put millions of dollars of his own property in this mix without any kind of return. This is his personal property. In fact, we have 7 different entities working to get this project, including UDOT, has put so much money into this project to get it over, because that congestion is affecting Kane County, Washington County, all the surrounding communities, all of us. I'll suggest that because exactly my point is that there's not increasing the scope, changing the scope of any kind, it was just all inflation. Go back and stay in the same 1%, Mr. Chairman. That's my motion. And that's the motion.
I'll second that.
Okay. A little bit of discussion.
Yeah. And I understand that there's a conservation easement and different things that go that way. Have different property owners or the land in there, has there been ground set aside for some development, the commercial or otherwise, or does it already exist? To help with CRT taxes or to other things to help fund other projects? Or is this just the center and nothing else around it?
No, so if you look at 4 miles of corridor going towards the park, we'll just call that inside. You know, there's different projects that are going to, when they did the test, they projected Science Bank Financial, public finance, I think, did a projection of growth and property tax and sales and use tax and all of that. Create the area plan, but all this is over my head a little bit, but I can say that work is done.
And there's land available for it, or is it held by the conservation?
No, the conservation easement was on the doorstep of the park, and it really protected a buffer. And so you'll have Discovery Center, and there's about a 2 mile stretch going towards the park, and there was a conservation easement of just about a quarter of a mile by the park boundary, but there's other projects that will come in and support the TIF budget that were already figured in, canceled. None of that was canceled, I guess.
But in terms of support from the planning zoning and everything else, there's room for some economic growth in the area.
Yes.
This would be a new place for.
Yeah, no, this is a very urban area.
And they get all the tax increment off a lot of that growth. So that's what I'm saying. There should be plenty of revenues to repay.
Commissioner Winfield.
Yeah, I see the value of the conservation corridor right at your doorstep there, but I also see the value of the west entrance to the county, right? Even though it is crowded and people don't like seeing that right up to the gate there, there are probably a lot of county commissioners that are enjoying the TRT and the TRCCA taxes that are generated there. And so I appreciate you answering Jack's, because that's half of my question with the same thing. Is there still some room for generation of taxes there that will help pay
this? There's actually a pretty comprehensive area plan and budget.
Perfect. Right.
And it will be definitely economically viable. It just won't be most communities crowd the road and line the road with commercial activities, and we're just trying to follow more of a balanced land use, because we think that actually in the long run builds value and builds longevity and appeal, so that after it's all said and done, you'll still find the area to be defensible that way, and it won't be just commercialized.
So the second part of mine was, you said that you're working with the Park Service. Are they helping in any way with this, other than they're gaining certainly the benefit from it? No, I'm in a very similar situation, because Arches National Park is the gateway to my community, and Grand County, we rely on, I believe it's 82% of the people that come to Grand County want to go into Arches.
Yep.
Right, and so the reservation system has had an extremely negative financial aspect on our community.
Yeah.
We're in our third year of negative growth in Grand County now, when you factor in inflation. And so it, conservation easement is a great idea, the little buffer zone right there, but you also have to realize that a community needs to be able to have some growth, pay the debt and whatnot there, and it's a tricky balance.
It's tricky, but it's achievable.
Sure.
I think actually the solution is there, and it's not an ego one. And Park did donate to the UDOT project the red gravel that they had stockpiled to surface the road. So once you hit the visitor center with the new roundabout, it actually looks like you're hitting the park.
Yeah.
And that's going to be an attractive thing. Help it be viable as well, but I don't think it really is either or. We want to demonstrate that value building cycle instead of the either or kind of thought, and that has helped us as a community. And I know Washington County, King County, working very earnestly with the park to have it not go down that very road,
right,
for that very reason. And right. And these are the tools we're bringing as a community and as a district and as a county. And as a state, to shore up the solutions that they have to do it more productively.
Perfect.
And still manage visitation.
And I do use that entrance. I much prefer it over the other one, just because I love to come right into that tunnel area.
And we think that this is catalytic to that area being substantial in that in the solution. So it's a once-in-a-country opportunity there. And Zion is the third or fourth most visited park.
Yeah. Well, and I just appreciate their working with you. That's
commendable
on their part.
And you work with them, and they work with you, and you can avoid some of the draconian policies. So it's part of the toolbox of community work, this project.
How much private land around this remains that's being improved by this infrastructure as a part of this, like this plan?
I don't know how far you want to go.
I mean, so you just mentioned a master plan for the commercial property, and that's within a relative close distance to this, right?
Yes.
This project.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get an idea of what the private land situation around this and. That's who's making out like a bandit. Who's left with the private land.
Well, we own certainly a lot of the land around it.
So your donation is not out of the goodness of your heart.
No. You can look at how you want. A lot of people wouldn't have donated. I mean, I'm still, contributing here and there. And it doesn't qualify or anything. Stuff like that. You got Ponderosa. You got Bear Creek. Folks, you've got other landowners like the Thurston's, the Orpheus that are right neighboring this. There's other landowners around there, but I'm a landowner. I wouldn't know the donation to do it.
Well, I just think in the context of, we're supportive of the project. You're right, Mr. Walker. I mean, it's coordination is rare to see or something like this. But when you're comparing them to, other projects that are just, they're in more survival mode.
Yeah,
I think in the context of arguing for a higher interest rate, that's where the merit comes from. There's a lot of economic development aspect to this. And so should the CID be subsidizing
you know, beyond what's reasonable, I guess, is, that's my concern. You know, this isn't, this is, it's not a knock on your project, it's just context.
Yeah.
You know, for what we do and, you know, what we fund. And so this is one of those where in hindsight, you know, you look back and say, would we have been a better steward of the fund, you know, to apply a rate that's more appropriate as opposed to, you know, just a lower rate just, you know, due to a slide deck on the project. So that's my caution for the board, I guess. Is, measure twice and cut once. So,
yeah.
So right now we've got a motion to fund at, or to place on the priority list as requested, correct?
Supplemental
fund. Okay. So let's have a roll call vote on that. That was a substitute motion. Let's have a vote on that, please. Ms. Powers.
Substitute motion is from Nunke and Commissioner Taylor, as requested. Treasurer Sloan?
No.
Ms. Hanson?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
No.
Commissioner Lytle?
No.
Mayor Baker?
No.
Commissioner Miles?
Nay.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
No.
Commissioner Winfield?
Yes.
Mr. Sinan?
Aye.
That motion fails.
Okay. We'll go back to we're back at the original motion, which is to fund, as requested, but at 2%, correct? So to fund the loan 30 years at 2%. So.
Treasurer Schwab?
Yes.
Ms. Hanson?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Whitfield?
Yes.
Just
I go with the flow.
Yes, aye.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We're excited to come
see
it.
It is funded. Yeah. This is funded because it's supplemental.
Okay. But they will have to go through a new bonding process.
Then you'll get a loan authorization.
So we get the letter.
And do whatever you want or close the bond.
Okay. So, may I say, careful. Thank you for your thoughtfulness, because as I listen to you today, this is really one of the greatest boards that the state has, and many people don't understand that since I've been involved in it. I sat there for 11 and a half years and learned to love rural Utah. So thank you. And yes, we'll all go out to work.
Thank you. Okay, we have a closed session item that is very brief. I don't know, Chairman Zanotti, you got to go, you can excuse yourself.
Okay. Is that okay? It's
not my closed session. Okay.
I know, but there's a quorum that can be about the meeting.
Yes.
Yes. thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay. Thank you. Close your second.
I agree with that.
Okay.
Okay.
We have to-
out a vote. Staff, but I mean, I don't know where to draw that line. Staff, why don't you help me out there? Who needs to stay?
I would defer to the attorney.
Discretion on the board's part. If you could even have a non staff here, although without for completely with like I could suggest it. But the staff of the CID called over with an established that we're looking to be discussing. So it's but beneficial for staff to be here. I don't see a reason that we would exclude more than necessary.
So, but at the same time, it's not in there basically, they can use their time better by getting lunch.
You don't need to
exclude anyone, but if anybody wants to leave their client.
Yeah.
It works.
We don't need a Zoom. Do we have anybody online?
If we don't have anybody online, we'll just stop this recording and start it again. And then I do have a Zoom link that's separate.
Okay. You need to vote.
But you need to vote, so he stops recording during the vote.
Okay.
I think we have the motion and the second. I think we just have to have a
roll call.
You want a roll call?
It needs to be a roll call.
Chairman Wells.
Yes.
Treasurer Schwab.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Mr. Bartholomew.
Yes.
Mr. Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yeah.
Mr. Miles?
Aye.
Mr. Taylor?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Winfield?
Yes.
And Ronnie Zahi is excused. That motion passes unanimously. We are going into closed session.
Okay. So we're back in open session now. So we are, we want to schedule a tentative virtual meeting for May 15th, and we'll probably wait until, we should wait until the application is obviously considered complete, for that project before we call the meeting, but if we could circle May 15th for that, that would be great. Tuesday, May 15th.
Thursday.
Oh, excuse me. No, I'm showing. Yeah, you're right. Sorry, I was in April. May 15th can work for me.
I am triple booked that morning, but I can probably step out of whatever I have to join them briefly.
What time do you want to start?
What time?
Well, let's do it worse. A little more convenient.
Yeah, 7:30 in the morning.
I can do crack it down.
Okay, so I have a Utah Housing Board meeting that morning that starts at 9, so as long as we can be done before 9.
8 o'clock?
Yeah.
That works for me. I think 10 o'clock is less than that.
Yeah, 8 a.m. Thursday.
That works for me.
May 15th.
Sounds lovely.
Okay, and then we're planning to place the Deepwater Coalport roundtable discussion on the policy meeting agenda for June 5th and 6th in the tree in Richfield. So, and we'll work on like an invite list for that. But right now, outside of, just counties and CID board and legislators, but my understanding is particularly like CERTA and R6 are the AOGs that are the priority stakeholders, right, for that discussion, at least from the AOGs. So,
thank you. Can I just say, like, I would like to know what our criteria is on, like, the mineral or the rare earth mineral application. Like, how are we supposed to evaluate those for approval, too? What are our criteria on that? Because
initially,
I don't know if it's been defined, right?
So. Initially, it's the critical, this first project has been defined, but beyond that, that's a great point, Corinne, that we do need to have, especially if we're anticipating more TIF applications, and we have never administered any part of the TIF, kind of more of an application checklist, right?
Yeah. So you say on this first one, they've already decided on who gets the money?
Yeah.
So where there's really no nothing we need.
Interest rate, terms, everything.
It's all been decided in statute.
Yeah, this is the rubber stamp.
All right.
That's my understanding.
Well, okay, well, that's future consideration.
But then in the future.
Need to identify criteria.
Right now, the criteria is just the application. They check all the boxes.
Which boxes, though? Which boxes?
There's a list of criteria of the TIF that we'll get.
I think it's on the board of all the eligible.
Yeah.
That's a fun chart, but if you go to the, other, there's a, like a helpful link. Yeah, useful link will have.
But just because somebody wants to mine, you know, just say, let's say silver mining in there, like a bad example.
Yeah.
If someone comes in at silver mining, your question is the company legitimate?
Yeah, exactly.
There's
like
a lot.
Anybody that says, hey, I got a mining company, and Joe Blow in his pickup truck, and he's like, I want $10 million. I'm going to go mine rare earth.
It doesn't say it has to pass through an eligible public entity.
It does. So that evaluation happens.
I want to pick in a bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, we wouldn't want the AMGs to just rubber stamp, you know, each project, but.
Yeah.